All right,
hi.
Welcome to my podcast. Oh, Amanda left. Oh
Why
shit.
did you kick
Oh
Amanda
shit. Yeah, I didn't. She just left. I think I embarrassed her.
Welcome to the Avengers podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge the MCU and all things nerd, old and new. Today we have Going Merry. Hi guys.
They're absolutely gonna think they're on the wrong
Just how many
podcast
people are gonna look at their phone and be like,
here.
wait,
What
what
the
happened?
fuck is
Where did it
happening?
go?
So for our listeners, I totally just hit the record button when nobody was expecting it. So that's why it's all over the place in pure chaos right now.
Yeah, and then mine shut down.
Welcome back.
When it
Crazy.
started,
Record, goodbye.
she's like, I'm out. I'm dipping out. I'm part of it.
I was like, Amanda got so embarrassed she left. It's gone.
Yep, totally.
All right. Well, welcome to the Going Merry podcast, where they assemble weekly with me now, because Derek's going to be an ass and send me a Zoom every single week. And I'm going to join. If Zoom is available, I'm going to join out of spite now. It is
Okay,
a
but you got this week, right? You have
Yes.
notes for this episode, so I
I
can dip
do.
out now, right?
Yes, you can. No.
What?
We're a team. The Avengers work together.
Only on Fridays.
Oh, that's true. All right, well, that sucks.
What was the name of this episode, Brandon?
Thou shalt get laid, right?
Oh,
Oh, I'm down with that.
That
Like,
makes it sound like a
whose does that
porno.
mean?
Yeah,
Yeah.
parentheses, tongue action required. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. I think I was close, right?
And what,
Judge.
I'm sorry, what number episode was this?
Oh, 69.
Hi.
69, season 420. Yeah.
We're supposed to have all of our students change their
So many
passwords.
seasons. Can we switch that around? Can we do season 69 and episode 420?
There you go. There you go. I think it's, I mean, that's about as
I
many
mean, I mean, yeah.
seasons and episodes
I
as they make.
guess it
Yeah.
is.
So Power Rangers were nine away from hitting 69 episodes in one season. That's crazy. 60
That's
episodes.
why they stopped.
Yeah. They were like, I can't do it.
We can't do it. I mean, at work for Employee Appreciation Month, they gave us two blue tennis
69.
balls. And I'm like, did y'all just seriously give me a ball sack with blue balls in
Oh, nice.
it?
Nice. That, hey,
And
that's.
I swear there was one person that came up with it that's just like sitting in a board meeting trying to figure out what to send all the employees, and they're like, I can't wait to give every single person that works for this company blue balls. This is going to be hilarious.
That sounds
Like,
like more than what my company gives me. So, yeah. Chicken
I
nuggets.
was.
I still have chicken nuggets. So,
I think I told that story on the pod. I'm not sure if you guys listened to it, but where is it? Hold on. Here we go. My God, where's my.
Hold on. I'm going to get chicken nuggets.
Where's my chicken nuggets?
Yeah, this is soap, by the way. I've had it for years, by the way. So I pranked one of my coworkers with chicken nugget soap. And he found out weeks later that I was the one putting chicken nugget soap all over his office. And so then he would start hiding it in my office. And I had an employee who was really emotional and crying. And so I went to get the Kleenex box and hand it to her. And I felt this little rattle. And there was chicken nugget in my face. And I had to be like, I could not laugh. So I was like, I know you're emotional. Hold on one second. Take this little chicken nugget soap, set it to the side, and then give her the Kleenex. Yeah.
Did anybody ever accidentally eat one?
No, I was so nervous he was going to eat it when I gave it to him. So I put soap in like big bold letters. And I thought that would tell him that was me because it was my handwriting. He did not know my handwriting. So he did not know. So for weeks there, when he came into my office trying to find out who put chicken nugget soap all over his office, I was like, oh shit, he has no idea it's me. So I kept fucking with him. So anyway, but to this day now I have chicken nugget soap, which is
Does
nice.
it smell like chicken?
It smells just like soap, unfortunately. It doesn't smell like chicken. That's
That would be awesome if it was like chicken scented soap. That would be so
oh.
fucking weird.
Cleanse your hands, but you smell like
Just...
raw chicken. That'd be the most mind of the entire
I
world.
feel like you just dug into a McDonald's bag
of
Yeah.
chicken. I feel like my dog would call
That's
me
how
on
I
that
smell.
note.
That's how I smell 90% of the time, anyway. So it's all good. All right, I'll let you guys go record Going Merry. They're gonna get a
Go
shout out.
watch One Piece.
Oh, One Piece, yes. What episode are you guys on? Six, five, six?
Seven,
We are
seven.
reviewing episode
Seven.
seven today.
Damn it, I knew I was close. Okay, seven. And Keith is on,
He
is he?
was on
He was on
episode five.
five.
Yeah, he was on five.
Who's got eight?
Annabelle and John. Mad trivia, John.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How many episodes in the season?
Eight.
All right. Cool. Yeah. I know. Season two. I'll see you. I got an invite. I was lazy as fuck. I was like, I don't have time to watch this shit. Sorry. I know.
You should try the live action. You'd really like it. It's
yeah.
Fine.
And now you can slow burn it and listen to us. You can be all caught up.
That will be awesome, actually. I think I'll do that. So what is it on?
Netflix.
Okay.
Original. Yep.
All right. Cool.
Hey, before you leave, though, you were talking about your favorite numbers. And we have to get all of our kids at school to change their passwords because we have like a set way of doing passwords.
Do you get to see their passwords that they put in?
No.
Please.
No, no, we don't. We're trying to figure out like a formula of like how to do it so that if a kid forgets his password, it's going to be really easy for us to, because like usually we do first initial, last initial, their student number, and then KCS. But we have to change it from that because other kids are figuring out the formula for the passwords, and it's becoming a nightmare. But like we were talking about, like, okay, well, put your favorite color, your birthday, and so, and there, I mean, some of our kids can't spell their favorite color, and so we still won't know. I was gonna say, I was talking to the teachers today, and they were like, well, how can we get a unique number for each kid that like they'll remember? And I was like, 69420.
Yeah, that's it. That was everyone's AOL screen name back in the day. It was like, yeah, Rage Against the Machine, 69420. Oh, I'm so cool.
I think mine was Joe Random. Yeah.
I remember like being 13 years old and joining the 30 single New York chat rooms. I wasn't single, that was so bad.
Yeah. I like really shouldn't have been in there, but I totally was when I was like 12.
I was too. I acted like I was not 12 and I catfished ASL.
I was like, you first. And then when they were like 19, blah, 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 I was like, I'm 20. So I was like
7 years old playing Halo 2 online on Xbox Live. And I would just be like, I'm going to fucking kill you, you son of a bitch.
I'm so glad I never played online until my voice got deeper, because I would have gotten fucking killed.
I died a lot.
It was probably, you know what? It's probably Amanda and I catfishing each other back and forth. I'm 20. Well, I'm 19. So yeah, we're both like 11 years old.
He's cooler than me.
Hey, this chick totally thinks I'm 21 years old.
Oh, good. Yeah. They would always ask, what are you wearing? And then I'd be like 12, being like, a tank top and a lime green thong. It was always a lime green thong too. Never any other color. It had to be a lime green thong. I had never worn, didn't own a thong.
Yeah, 12 years old googling what thong is.
I know that one G string.
But that was it. I don't know anything else. So
yeah.
I know it's lime green though.
Hell yeah.
You like talk to the same person again. They're like, weren't you wearing that yesterday?
I have multiple pairs, like cartoon characters.
You need to open your closet, it's the same outfit all across.
Tank top, lime green thong.
Even that shit every day of your life.
Did you at least change the color of your tank top?
No, usually it was black.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't know why that was cool. I don't know.
Hey, black tank top.
Black tank top. Hey, are you wearing a lime green thong?
No.
You don't have to answer, okay. Amanda. You can always just say, I decline.
I guess I could lie. I don't know.
I am. Oh my God. I'm wearing a lime green thong, actually.
Our listeners are going to be like, what Christmas. The fuck is going on here?
All right. Fuck it. All right, guys.
Borat came along and changed the game.
Borat. Anyway, all right, cool. Have a good one, guys. Have a good recording.
See you, guy.
Bye.
Bye, Brandon. See you Friday. Bye.
See you Friday. Before. Yeah, we're recording Friday, aren't we? Yeah. Okay. What are we reviewing?
Monster High 2.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. Bye.
Yes, I just saw a commercial for that.
It was exactly what I wanted it to be.
Is it a movie or a show?
Movie.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was very bad, but
I always tried to get my kid to buy those because I thought they were so cool looking, and she never wanted them.
Oh. I think they're really cool looking too.
Yeah.
And now they've got the color people. That's
whoa. What?
They've got, it's like each character is a different color, and then they've also got black and white. That doesn't sound right either.
Let's rewind.
I think it's called Rainbow High. I could be wrong.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But like, then Descendants, I thought Descendants was really cool too.
I love Descendants.
I do too.
So cool. I used to play the soundtrack on repeat.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Some bangers. No cap.
No cap.
Yep.
Bussin'.
You know what I love?
Yachts.
Oh, jeez.
What?
Derek loves a yacht.
I thought you said yachts, and I was like, I mean, yeah, doesn't everybody?
Yacht.
Well, actually, what I was going to say was I love the Going Merry podcast, the number one One Piece review podcast on the internet. My name is Derek, and I am one of your hosts. And as always, I have my two co-hosts with me, Amanda and Whitney, and we are very late with this introduction. Whitney, how are you?
I'm good. A little bamboozled tonight.
That's all right. That was the point.
But you know, this podcast is covering the show where everybody's hot and all of the hosts and guests are hot too.
Yes. Yes, that's absolutely true. Amanda, how are you today?
I guess I'm hot. I don't know. I'm a little warm though, actually. It's a little warm in here.
No, really, I'm sweating.
Yeah, I'm kind of warm.
It's going to get there for me. It's going to get there by the end of this recording. So, we also have a very special guest with us today. You have already heard her and her co-host, Brandon, talking about it a little bit. Emmy of the Avengers podcast. Emmy, how are you today?
I'm very cold, actually. It got chilly.
Well, that's good. I'm so glad that you decided to join us today.
Me too. I'm very excited.
So for the listeners that did not know this, which I don't know that we've ever actually said this online but or on the air before. I know we've talked about the Avengers before when recording, but the Avengers podcast is kind of like basically. I mean, yeah, honestly, because like Amanda and Whitney and I all met through the Avengers podcast. We all listened to the Avengers and joined their Patreon and met in their Discord. And that actually would be true for all of the guests that we've had on so far. All of them we met through the Avengers podcast.
That's
so
really cool to think about. That's awesome.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I'm so proud of my children. I have such pride.
So yeah, having Emmy on today is absolutely fantastic, and Brandon being on earlier was awesome. So
it was okay.
You know,
I wish we could have screenshotted Emmy's face when he popped up.
Oh no, that was
like it was a mixture of surprise and disappointment.
I refuse to share the spotlight. I will not. I am the main character here.
I was wondering, I was like, I'm just gonna send this just because I remembered, and we're just gonna see if he pops up. So you heard Brandon earlier, he was definitely not scheduled to be on here today. I just sent him the link to our Zoom meeting just because, and he just popped right in. So it was a shocker to everyone except for me. So, Emmy, before we get started, I have a couple questions for you. And I guess we can kind of do one question that encompasses both. And have you ever watched or read any One Piece before the show? And or like, do you have any anime experience at all?
So my anime experience up to this point was, I know that my students love it. I've tried to get into it. I watched a couple episodes of Death Note. It was good, but it didn't really hold my attention. I watched, because my ex-boyfriend forced me to, I watched a couple episodes of Dragon Ball Z. And again, just not my cup of tea. And I honestly think, I used to watch Pokemon when I was a kid and Yu-Gi-Oh.
Okay.
No, not Yu-Gi-Oh. No. Digimon.
Okay.
I love Digimon.
So I remember a few months ago on one of the Avengers episodes, you started talking about Digimon and you sang the theme song. And as soon as you did that, I realized all these years I had been singing the words wrong.
Okay, are you sure that it's you? Because it's usually me.
No,
that has the words
it wrong. Was definitely me, because your words actually made sense. Mine made no sense. I was like driving down the road listening to this episode and my mind was blown. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me?
What were you singing?
Let's see.
Digimon are the champions.
Yeah, so that was not what I was singing. I was singing, again, makes no fucking sense. I was singing Digimon Garlic Champions. Like, why are they champions of seasoning? See? It makes no fucking sense.
Worse. That's all right.
Like, I hadn't thought about it in years, but all of a sudden you started singing and it just clicked. And I was like, wait a minute.
But yeah, so that was all the anime that I had watched up until this point. And so I was like, all right, the live action, I'll give it a go.
Okay, cool. And well,
I won't get into that yet. Okay.
Whoa, Andy. Whoa.
Sorry.
So up to this point, I mean, we're at episode 7 now. So what have you, I mean, I know you've already finished the show, but
and Derek has not. So
I have not seen episode 8 yet.
Okay, well, I don't remember it, so.
Okay. So, what have you thought about the show up until this point?
I was absolutely sucked in. I think I told you guys I watched it in about 2 days. I do think I tried to, get my foot off the gas pedal a little bit and try to slow it down a little bit because I was enjoying it so much and I wanted to savor it. So, maybe it was 3 days, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fantastic. I loved the whole series.
Cool. Yeah. And so,
go ahead.
No, I was
asking the question I was about to answer.
I was going to say, what did you think about this episode specifically? But I mean, if you had.
Oh, I was going to say, because I love this series so much, I was like, I could go try the anime.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
No, I didn't make it through the first episode. I couldn't. I don't know what it is that about. I just can't.
It's the screaming.
You guys have talked about that before, and I truly think that's what it is.
Yeah.
And so it might be like, I have a lot of friends that watch it, and they prefer subbed over dubbed because they, especially Luffy's voice actor, is a little much. And so they like the subbed voice actor better. But of course, that means, you know, reading subtitles the whole time because everything's in Japanese. But the Japanese voice actors are a little bit more calm in that aspect. I mean, they still scream. It's just not quite as ear piercing.
This try is that. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I was just saying I should try watching it that way.
Oh. This is just an interesting fact that I read somewhere recently. Mm-hmm. That I know that English speakers have the sub versus dubbed about Japanese anime. Mm-hmm. There's a huge debate in Japan about which is better, the subbed or the dubbed version of King of the Hill.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
TikTok, yeah. And they like mostly prefer the dub?
I think so.
Because of, I guess
the accent?
The accents and the, what would you say, like
the
vocabulary, like the language, like
Boomhauer has a very
has a very dang old man.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I will. There are some some of the Japanese words and stuff just kind of crack me up, and then like whenever they answer phones and stuff like that, instead of saying hello, they're like mushy mosh, and I'm just I'm like, I like how they say hello. or like wait a minute is choto mate. And like, just
Japanese that stuff. I'm like, really cool language. I like to listen to it a lot.
So some of that stuff I laugh.
A person that I work with is in Japan this week, and I'm like living vicariously through her. I never really had a big interest in going to Japan, but like the way she was talking about it, I'm excited to see pictures. And like her family lives there, and so like the culture, like she talks about the culture a lot and how it's just so different than here. Like it's more of a collective, and whereas America is very like individualistic, you know, like everybody is polite and everything is on time, and that's very different than here. For the most part. So
yeah, one of my friends is actually leaving to go to Japan this week as well. So
wow. Low-key crossover.
Yeah,
two of my former, like they used to work at my school, are actually in Japan right now.
Cool.
What? Wow. Like, this is like crazy. Amanda. Jobs.
Amanda, do you know anybody that's in Japan? Damn
in
it.
Japan right now.
I don't think so.
Come on.
Check.
All of the people that Emmy, Whitney, and I know, like they're all going to be like having lunch in Japan together at the same time. That's exactly what's happening.
That would be funny.
That would be funny. Oh my God.
I should just. I just text my buddy. Are you having lunch with their friends? He's like, I don't even know who they are.
One of them has been there for almost a year, and she works at a military base. And then the other one, I don't even know what she's doing, but she's been there for like 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
She left her husband here.
Ooh. Heyo.
It was a joint decision. They both were like, oh, it's okay, you go.
But, good for them.
Gotcha. Well, Emmy, what did you think of episode 7? Like,
okay.
Yeah, transfer right into it here.
Yeah. You know, segues. I'm really good at those on the Avengers podcast as well. My segues are top notch.
Oh, no, mine are fucking awful.
Mine are too, but I like to say mine are great, but they're not. I love that the O was always different on the One Piece logo.
Yes.
I think that is such a cool touch.
Yes.
This was not one of my favorites of those, and this episode probably wasn't a standout for me for the whole series, just because I didn't like that the crew was split up. Mm-hmm. There was like a little bit of infighting, and I did like being able to see some more of Nami's backstory and kind of seeing where she came from and seeing her kind of like open up a little bit and seeing her compassion. But for the most part, I think my favorite parts are when the whole crew is together. And I feel like we get not little of it, but like once Sanji joins, then Zoro gets hurt. And then like you don't get all of them together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels very choppy. Long.
Yeah. And I want them all to just be together, live in harmony.
Yeah.
It's hard with Zoro and Sanji for sure.
yes. But I also, I love that. I love their dynamic. I love their relationship, their rivalry. I in their hotness, I also love that as well. I ship them, I feel like.
And again.
You're not the only one. A lot of people do.
Yep,
you're absolutely not the only one there. Amanda, what did you think of this episode?
I liked it. I can see that though, because I do like when they're all together, and I like kind of, I think I had this problem more with the anime, is that I remember not liking the parts as much when it wasn't focused on the crew. So when it was like Buggy or whoever else, when it kind of like went to another group of people, I wasn't enjoying it as much, but I don't feel that way here. Because I mean, we've had that pretty much for the whole series so far, like flipping back between the Marines and the crew. But I think they do it well here, and I like all of the characters, so I'm never really upset to see them like switch over to Helmet, Bo, and Kobe versus the crew, all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I also can't really decide if one or the other, if this or the anime version of this story, like if one made me feel more bad for Nami. I think maybe the anime might have had a little bit more impact, just because we got to see slightly more story, or at least it was like stretched out mm-hmm. over a little bit more time. I don't think I was like unsympathetic towards Nami in this, but I think maybe the anime made me feel for her a little bit more.
Okay.
But I liked that we got Bellemeer and Nojiko. I thought they were both really great adaptations of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I really liked the actresses that played them. I thought they did a good job. What about you? What did you think of episode 7?
I liked it a lot. I definitely agree with, you know, wanting everybody to be together, and I'm hoping that that's going to happen in the next episode, because I feel like that's where it kind of ended off. I really liked watching the change that has come over Luffy. He seems to have gotten quite a bit more serious in this episode. He seems concerned and worried about Nami in a real way that we haven't seen him do yet, because he's usually very carefree and very optimistic, like he doesn't think anything's going wrong. But all he can focus on right now, because Zoro is finally back to, I don't want to say full strength, but you know, they know he's going to be okay. But you can see over the episode that Luffy's, even just his demeanor, his facial expression, is getting way more serious and concerned, and all he can think about is getting Nami back. Even though everyone around him is like, we don't need to rescue Nami. She doesn't want our help. She doesn't want us there. And he's like, no, I don't want to hear it. And I just really, in the anime, I like angry Luffy, because he, you know, cares about very few things in life. And that's, you know, like his dreams, his friends, and his hat, right? Those are pretty much like his big three.
And meat
and food, yeah. But we're starting to see the part of him that cares. He's always cared about his friends, but these are really his friends now, right? They've been through a lot together, and he cares about all of them. And now they've all kind of, they're showing that they care about him too, because you see Zoro in the last episode, he's like, I'm your first mate, I'm with you until we die or we get the One Piece. And he doesn't want to give up on Nami, because maybe he sees something that nobody else sees in her, and that I didn't see in her all watching the anime, because I just hated her and was like, she obviously doesn't want to be part of you. She hates you guys. She double crossed you. But I don't know. I really like seeing Luffy that way, and seeing the relationship between Helmeppo and Kobe also.
Angry Luffy is the best. I love
Angry Luffy. Yeah. And you know, the da, 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 da.
I wish we had gotten a little bit of that. That
was a nitpick for me. I was like, they could have easily done that at the end of the episode when they're all together there marching. Could have had it. But that's like the song in the anime Emmy that really lets you know they mean business. And they're
And shit's about to go down. Yeah. You get like these fucking bongo drums going.
And we gotta find a video.
We'll have to find a clip of it. And it's like dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
It's like, oh shit. And you're gonna get their ass whooped.
Like I'm jumping way, way ahead, but the scene towards the end where they do the panel shot of all four of them and they're like, yeah, let's go. Yeah. That's when they would play that.
That's when it needed to happen. Okay. Yes, agreed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Sanji was just smoking a cigarette all cool. Like,
he had a sleeve rolled up. I mean, did you see that?
I really liked this episode. There's a few things that I felt like I missed from the anime. Like, it was nothing against this episode. I just felt like, you know, like we've talked about before, there are things that they had to cut for time. And with this particular arc, with as excellent as the writing was in the anime, I just felt like here they cut a little bit too much, even though they didn't really have a choice but to cut that. So I'm not like upset about it, but it was just stuff that I noticed that I missed along the way. But still, I really liked this episode, and I've talked about, and like when I heard the anime was a thing, or that when I heard that the live action was going to be a thing, there was one particular scene that I said to myself right away that I was like, that scene has a very, very high bar to hit because of how well it was done in the anime. And we've already hinted at it several times and throughout our review of the live action, but that scene was in this episode. So I am excited to get there and kind of talk about that more in depth. Are y'all ready to move on to the scene-by-scene breakdown?
I have a question.
Yes.
Did you guys start this podcast before the live action was revealed? Or did
yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. So
I think before it was revealed,
we did not.
Yeah.
Before the first trailer.
We didn't really talk about it because, I don't think we knew anything about it at that time. I don't think I did.
We started this before the first trailer came out for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been aware of the live action for a little bit over a year now. So, and I don't remember if I brought that up to Amanda and Whitney when we were kind of starting everything or not, but.
Not that it changes anything. I was just curious.
I remember being really excited when.
Yeah, I wasn't like wildly excited. I mean, I had no conception of what it would be before we saw the trailer. And then once we saw the trailer, I was like, I forget. I think you guys sent it to me and I was like doing an errand or something and I was in my car and I was like, yes, this is right. And I was watching it on my tiny phone.
Yeah.
We were like Leonardo DiCaprio, like,
Yeah.
We're like watching, pointing at the screen.
Right.
That's the thing. Yeah.
I have to say too, with how much my students love anime, whenever it first came out, I thought they were going to release episode by episode. And so I like got really excited. I was hyped the day that the first episode, what I thought was just the first episode, was supposed to drop. And I was like, are you guys going to watch the live action One Piece? And they all stared at me just crickets. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. But do you guys watch One Piece? Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. But you're not going to watch the live action? No. What?
There's been a lot of anime adaptations that have been done that have been absolute dog shit. So I think I think a lot of anime fans had a bad taste in their mouth for live actions coming out, and this one has definitely been different.
Yeah. Well, and my kids don't know that.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't think that they know that there was a Dragon Ball Z movie that came out.
Oh, that
10-15 years ago.
That shit.
They've all been bad, haven't they?
They have.
The Avatar movie was bad.
Oh, it was terrible.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that they did that one.
That was terrible.
Yeah,
it was all sorts of wrong.
So it's kind of funny. The first time I went and saw like the Avatar with the blue people, I thought I was going to see The Last Airbender.
Oh my god!
Because they were in theaters only a month or two apart.
Yeah.
And so I thought I was going to see the wrong movie. And it's like, I kept waiting for some little bald kid to come out with a stick and start spinning it. I was like, who the fuck are these blue people?
That must have been a shock.
It was different.
And it's like 4 hours later, the movie's over and you're like, what happened?
Yeah.
Where is The Last Airbender?
Yeah. I was like, I don't know what the hell this is.
It was just weird tale stuff.
The last weird tale stuffing.
Nothing.
Suffering. What?
Anyway,
the guys of the Straw Hat crew continue to get acquainted as they approach the Konomi Islands. At Arlong Park, Nami plays cards with some other fishermen when she is called away to talk with Arlong. She walks into the room with a table and a map laid out, and along with it, a chain on the ground right next to it. In a flashback, young Nami reads a book full of maps when Bellamir walks in. After discovering that Nami stole the book, tension rises until the breaking point when Nami shouts that Bellamir is not her real mom. As Nami sits alone under a tree, Bellamir walks up and explains the story of how she found Nami in Ojiko. Back in the present day, Arlong enters the room and asks Nami to go to Coco Village and collect the payment of tribute that they are late on. So real quick before I hand it over, Whitney, did you see him? Did you notice him? No. One of your pirate pals they put in the live action.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And I and listen, I was going to use him as my pirate pal, but I couldn't get a good shot of him when I was watching him. But I can't remember his name. He's a fish man.
And I went
the blue and yellow hair.
I went to our Twitter to look and see what his name was because I couldn't remember his name either. That we gave him John Bon Jovi.
John Bon Jovi.
Yeah, that's who it was.
I wonder what his real name is.
I don't know. Because we had John Bon Jovi and MC Hammered in that same episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need me to look up John Bon Jovi's real name?
Yeah. Wait. Yeah.
So anyway.
Yes, let's do that.
We'll post
John that. Francis Bon Jovi Jr.
Wait, oh yeah.
But okay.
That guy.
Cool.
Sorry.
The famous.
No, yeah. Does it say anything about him being a fish, Emmy?
No, that's racist.
Okay. Anyway, Whitney, we can start with you. What did you think about the beginning of this episode?
I like the very beginning with Buggy's little sea shanty.
Yes. Oh, that was so funny.
Yeah. Yes. I can't remember the words, but
Wrote the whole thing down. I didn't, but I was thinking about it.
You're ready to talk about mommy's ass somehow, but I don't know.
Right on my nose.
Yeah, the visuals of his neck wiggling back and forth. So gross. but looked really good, I thought. I think it's funny that there's infighting in the crew about what they need to do about Nami, because you know Luffy's very pro, we're gonna find Nami, and Zoro's like, I don't think we need to, she doesn't want us around. And Sanji is just smitten, not as weirdly as he is in the anime. He's like creepy in the anime, but in this he says Nami clearly needs to be rescued. He's head over heels, needs her back. But I agree with Emmy. This wasn't my favorite title card of the series, but I thought it was really good at telling us exactly who this episode was going to be about. Because if you watch the anime, you know about the Tangerines, and that's who we see and what we see on the title card. I wasn't sure about Bellemere. I was excited to see Bellemere, but I'm not sure if she looks like I expected her to look. Because I feel like in the anime, she looked really badass.
And yeah, I do prefer her the way she, like, I thought in anime she looked a little bit better. But, like I thought she still looked good.
Yeah, I mean, she looked good. She had the right hair color and the style was right. But it looked more, in the anime, it was very, like, shaved on the sides. And did she have a cigarette in her mouth, or was it a sucker or something a lot?
It was a cigarette.
I didn't really see that in the live action, which whatever, but I don't know. She was fine. I guess I just imagined her to be tougher and maybe a little younger. I don't know why I imagined that, but she still did great. But I like that they included little things like the tangerine pinwheel that we know is very symbolic of her time in Cocoa Village. Is that right?
So it's Cocoa Village in the live action. It's Cocoa Yashi Village in the anime. Oh, they changed the name. They changed the name of it.
Okay. And little Nami looks really good, I think. I mean, I feel like it's very hard to mistake her for Nami because of her hair, but I think she looks, you know, like I would imagine a little Nami would look.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as far as the kid actors, which I feel like sometimes can be hit or miss in things, I think she did a good job in this episode. I still think Sanji's is the best, but I did like Nami's child actor. And I like that we see very early she's always had a thing for maps, and she's been really good at them. She's been interested in them. I was a little surprised that they included Bellemere slapping Nami across the face in the live action. I think she did that in the anime.
She did. Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, it's a new day. It's 20 some years later. So I wasn't sure if they would go that far with it, but they did. But it was a really quick way, I think, for them to establish they're going to talk about Nami this episode. We're finally going to figure out what her deal is, because they've been hinting at it the whole time that she had a tough time growing up. She hates rich people. She hates pirates. What made her this way? And we see that she had a family, mm-hmm. even though it wasn't your quote traditional family, which is a whatever term, but yeah, I thought it was a good introduction to what we're going to see for her.
Cool. Emmy?
I was trying to find the name of
John Bon Jovi. Here.
Yes. And yes. I could not find his actual name. So for that, I'm sorry. But yeah, I really liked this intro to Nami and how she kind of has this non-traditional start, and how it shows how good she is with maps. Not gonna lie, Arlong is kind of hot. At least his voice is.
Have you seen him in real life?
No, I meant to look him up before I got on hot. Here, but hot. Okay,
well, hot.
I mean, I can
also marry. Is... But...
Whatever. I mean, this is an end in divorce. Always. And then have we gotten to the part where Sanji's trying to get rid of Buggy's head
in the town?
Says something like new guy carries the clown head. It's like a given rule.
We haven't quite. I think that's like the yeah, we haven't quite gotten there yet, but I mean, you can talk about it.
Well, I thought it was really funny that's, you know, that's just the rule.
New guy carries the head.
newbies got to do the stuff that nobody else wants to do, like carrying the annoying, loud clown.
I'm trying to think, because in the first episode, Zoro was carrying around like that half of a person in the bag, and he wasn't on the crew yet, so no one else had to carry that.
He was just in the bar.
Yeah. But no, I hated that the crew wasn't all together. But I liked that this episode focuses on Nami and her mm-hmm. backstory and her unconventional family life or unconventional upbringing. And I feel like the whole point when she's like, I hate that we're poor. Like, I'm sick of being poor. I feel like that's relatable, I feel like, to some kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure. And yeah. Me.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Sick of being a poor adult.
Yeah, completely agree.
And all I eat is tangerines.
Yeah. I can't afford tangerines. All I eat are Pop-Tarts.
Mm.
It's a Pop-Tart is the more sophisticated tangerine.
Yes. Yep. That is their slogan. That's
what they say. Amanda, what about you?
I thought this was a good introduction for Nami, for little Nami at least. And I think she kind of the way that they portrayed her here, I thought that they did a good job of making her an endearing character at first, and then you kind of see like she's bratty like every other child. Because like you can see the wonder on her face when she's looking at the map. Mm-hmm. I think is that the first shot we see of her?
Yeah,
probably. Because in the anime, I think we were just like, she's a brat like right off the bat, and then I made that little piece of shit kid image of her because we decided that she was a piece of shit, and I thought it was funny because I mean they have been matching the clothes like to a T, but she did have that exact same little funny green dress.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I agree, Whitney, that Bellemere wasn't as badass as I thought she was going to be. Now that you say that, I did think that when I was watching it. And I don't know what it is, because I feel like her... Maybe, I don't know if it was just a combination of everything. Like, I thought she did a good job of, like, being their maternal figure. But beyond that, I think maybe there wasn't quite as much, like, badassery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, attitude from her as much as we saw in the anime.
Yeah, there was definitely some stuff that they took out of her story and Nojiko's story.
She seemed like more matronly and like more motherly than the anime Bellemere. Like anime mm-hmm. Bellemere was kind of like, I saved you because I felt like I needed to, and I take care of you, but I'm still young and kind of aggravated. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. Like, she cared about them. She loved them. But it was more of a, like, older sister vibe, mm-hmm. I feel like, than a mom vibe to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did seem a little older here, I think.
I think the sister, too, she seemed like a total badass, because when Nami mm-hmm. came to the village and she says something and then spits on the ground next to Nami, and it was like, all right, and then just walks off like, I don't give a fuck what you have to say. I'm sorry. Yeah. Am I allowed to cuss on this podcast?
No, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, have you met us?
Emmy, get the fuck out of here.
Oh, fuck, damn it. No, okay. I figured, but I probably should have asked before I asked for forgiveness.
Nah.
Okay. But yeah, I thought the sister was pretty badass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, so that was kind of my notes too. It's like I have a pretty large chunk cut out of the flashback, because like there were some scenes with Genzo that were here that, and like kind of establish, when I say relationship, I mean friendship between Genzo and Bellemere, like, and especially that scene with those two, because like Bellemere kind of like hits on Genzo and, you know, a little bit, and makes him go beat Red, and it's like,
oh yeah,
yeah, it's like, so you miss that fun side of Bellemere that mm-hmm. and, you know, and like you were kind of talking about the young, more playful, almost, you know, sisterly vibe, and so that was taken out. And then like the scene with Nami actually stealing the book was taken out, and like you know, and that was just in this little chunk here. There's more later, but and then there was a scene at the dinner table in the anime that was with all of them that got taken out. So there was like a decent chunk of the backstory taken out here. And like, again, like I said, I understand that they needed to fit time in here, but I found myself missing those extra scenes that were not here, if that makes sense.
I would argue, though, that it's not her story, and so I didn't need a whole bunch of Bellemere stuff in order to get what I needed for it to feel impactful for Nami.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And maybe it was purposeful to make her feel more motherly because of that, because they cut out so much of that. It was like, this is how important this woman was to them. She was their mother. She mm-hmm. took care of them. She rescued them when she didn't have to. And it was more of a, like, it was more impactful, I guess, when she died, if that makes sense.
See, yeah, like, when she died in the anime, I did feel like a little bit more impacted by it, just because, I mean, here she had the motherly vibe, which, you know, obviously was needed. It was obviously an impactful scene that she died. It was just like, there was something in their relationship that was missing, you know, like a fun side of the relationship. Here we saw kind of the motherly side and the strict parenting side. We didn't see the fun side of all of the good times that Nami and Bellemere have had together. So while it was sad that Bellemere got shot, it almost kind of felt like it was missing that funner side and that, you know, more emotionally diverse side of what all Nami was losing, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. But I guess they just had to make a choice.
Yeah, they did. Like they had to cut stuff.
Establish the most important parts that we needed to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I still teared up
in that
sacrifice scene. Like, it's still...
It was still rough.
Seriously, yeah. It seriously impacted me. And, like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that they chose the things that needed to be... pinpointed for it to have that impact. And I would even say that some of those, like, I wouldn't say like fun loving qualities, but like that understanding is like, okay, I just smacked you across your face because you were being a dick. But when they go out and mm-hmm. she's like having that conversation with Nami and she's like, I know you'll do the right thing, like this is my, like it was kind of like not just from a motherly perspective, it was more of a an understanding perspective of like, yeah, you're right, we're not like a true family, but like we are family in every sense of the word.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else before we move on? Cool. Garp walks into the Bratier and requests to speak with the owner. When Zeph comes out, he's questioned on the whereabouts of Luffy. Back in Coco Village, the Straw Hats stroll through the town and look at the near-vacant village and all of the damage caused by Arlong and his crew. In the town square, Gento tries to collect tribute, but it's not going well. Then Nami walks in to collect. Back in the flashback, Nami gives a book back to Genzo and apologizes for stealing it. As she hands the book over, a woman comes screaming through the village that pirates are attacking. Arlong and his crew go through the town like a wrecking ball and wreak as much havoc as they possibly can. Back in the present day, after Nami collects, she sees Luffy and the rest of the crew off to the side and confronts them. The crew walks to Nojiko's house to talk to her about Nami and try to get more information on the situation. Winnie, let's start with you.
Okay. I thought it was pretty clever that when they went to the flashback
mm-hmm.
To show it was Arlong who destroyed this village, who started this whole thing,
mm-hmm.
To show him lifting the house with his own strength, just to show again, like we've seen before, that he's not going to be your run-of-the-mill bad guy for Luffy and the mm-hmm. crew. This guy is super strong, he's not human, and he's got his own reckoning that's going to happen. So I thought that was really clever. When Nami and Luffy and the crew see each other, and I can't remember if this happens after she tells them to leave, but I like the interaction between, again, they're still discussing, like, what are we going to do? Are we going to try to save her? Or I don't think we should save her, but we need to save her. And Sanji, again, is like, you don't know women. They never say what they mean. which is the little bit of that Sanji that we see in the anime, who's a little sexist slash creepy slash womanizer kind of dude, which he's not that person in the live action. I don't think he's very likable, if a little misguided. But I still really like that whole deal. I don't really have a lot of notes for this whole scene, except that it was pretty emotional just to see this is more of Nami's why. Right. This is mm-hmm. why she doesn't like pirates. This is why she doesn't have friends. This is why she steals and doesn't trust people and hates rich people. It's just one, if they're hitting us with one thing after another, now we're explaining why Nami is the way she is. So mm-hmm. it was nice to have more of a flashback. And I feel like, I can't remember who made this point, but it was one of our guests on a previous one where we had one flashback all in one.
I
think it was Brandy.
Was it Brandy?
No, okay. it was Keith, right?
Oh.
It was Brandy.
And I'm so sorry, whoever it was, that I can't remember who you were. But this one was in pieces, right?
It was Garrett. That's who it was.
Let's just name all the guests we've had.
I know. Let's just, it's one of them. Yeah.
I'm
sorry.
Pretty sure it was me.
We love you all and we think you all have valid points. But whoever said that,
Your point was more valid.
I actually noticed it more this episode rewatching it, because I was like, okay, now we're back to the mm-hmm. back and forth, which I think works in this one, because I feel like if we had gotten the whole flashback, which was pretty long if you put it all together, it wouldn't mm-hmm. have worked as well. Oh. Because we're seeing it juxtaposed with present day, and it's like, she did this just now, flashback, this is why she did that. Present day, yeah. This is explaining, you know what I mean? It's just mm-hmm. bouncing back and forth, but in a good way, not like confusingly.
Mm-hmm.
Was the other flashback, was it with Zeph and Sanji?
Yes.
Yes, it was that yeah. one with the shipwreck. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. because yeah. I felt like that was I don't think I connected it until you just said that, but I do think watching it, I was kind of like, it's an odd choice to have it be that long.
And I wonder if that was why they did it, because they wanted you to really feel this is how long they were there.
Yeah.
To kind of make you feel a little bit of that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And see, if I remember right, in the anime, because like basically all of the flashbacks almost get full episodes devoted to them. Like Luffy's flashback with Shanks was all of episode 4. Zoro's flashback with Kuino is all of episode 19.
How do you remember that? Are you kidding me? How do you?
Because
it was episode 22.5.
One, because I was like looking to see where episodes were so I'd know when we hit stuff, because I like those episodes. And also this podcast. This podcast has made me very aware of what happens in what episodes.
I could not tell you.
Yeah, same.
Well, I think part of it too is like counting to figure out, okay, what's 5 more episodes, what's 5 more episodes, and so on and so forth. Like that, I think that's part of it.
I even for this, so in best laid plans, I was like, oh, it'll be the week before will be fall break before I record with Going Merry, so I'll have time to go back and rewatch all of these episodes. It didn't happen because I am who I is, and things are, so I went back and read the Wikipedia page with all the different episodes, and like that's where I went to get to episode 7. Mm-hmm. So then I watched episode 7. I mean, I remembered all of it, but I did have to have that like brain refresh where I was just like, I don't remember anything or what happened in each episode. I can't, and that's only 8 episodes. You've got what, 1,000?
Yeah, like keeping them all straight. So, like which episode was what? Yeah.
Don't ask me about episodes before, like that we have yet to review. I have no fucking clue on those. It's just the ones that we've reviewed that I'm familiar with. Well, actually, two of my two favorite characters in the entire show, I know what episodes they make their appearance in. But other than that,
Zoro and Sanji, because they're the hottest, right?
No, it was Kobe. Derek loves Kobe and Usopp.
Kobe's easy to remember. He's episode 1.
I saw Kobe, and I didn't make it all the way through episode 1.
Right? Isn't he awful in the anime?
In the anime, awful. He is truly, like, going back and rewatching this episode after I'd seen him in the anime, I was like, I want to punch you in the face myself. Both of them, honestly. Him and, what's the other guy's name?
Helmeppo.
Helmeppo. Yep, both of them. Punches. Back 5 Inkazi all day, every day.
Yes.
100%. I agree. They're both really, really rough in the anime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even remember where we were at.
We were talking about the pirate
union.
Yes.
Did we get to Zeph talking to Garp?
Yes, we did.
So I really like, this is the last thing I'm going to say about it, but I really like their conversation, even though it kind of seems like it's a little bit of a lull in the episode because they're just sitting there talking, but it means a lot. Like it's a lot of deeper meaning here because we already know Zeph is kind of like, when he ate his own leg, he was like, you are the new generation. You need to take this on and take it forward and go and live your dreams and find the All Blue to Sanji. And that's kind of what he's trying to convince Garp, because he can see what Garp's trying to do. And he's like, you need to let it go. Mm-hmm. We're done. We're old men. Our story is over. We need to let them do what they're going to do. And that includes Kobe and Luffy, right? Like, they're different paths, whatever they may be. They're the new generation. We need to let them do their thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I liked how he was comparing it to wine.
Mm-hmm.
And then Garp was like, yeah, I think you need to invest in bourbon. or whatever he said.
Whiskey.
It was whiskey. Yeah.
But that's such a Ziff thing to do, right?
I mean, yeah, it was really funny. I like that.
Come on. You got to have some nice wine with your food. Some wine.
Yeah. Good old wine.
Wine.
Amanda, what about you?
I liked that conversation too. I kind of thought it was like, I almost got the feeling that they knew each other, or like they had run into each other in the past, probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, that seems likely, just because based on
well, don't they even mention that later? It's like somebody we used to know.
Yeah,
that can be separately.
Like something about
Zeff used to be a pirate, right? And this guy's a marine.
Yep, I think they mentioned something about. As far as we
know, has he always been a marine?
Maybe he's a pirate.
Maybe.
Maybe he was one of those snail phones.
I think there was something like they mentioned it was the first time they were on the same side of a cannon, or like not on opposite sides of a cannon or something.
Yeah.
Well, I have a theory, but I'll say it later because I want to let Amanda finish because I interrupted.
Okay.
It's okay. what else?
You go ahead and interrupt, Whitney.
Sorry.
Oh, I liked the actor that they chose for Genzo. I thought he had the same like kind of
I did.
Uncle vibes as the anime one.
Yeah,
I liked him as well. It was kind of funny though, because like we were talking about how in the anime Bellemere felt younger than she it does in live action, but in the live action Genzo feels younger than the anime Genzo.
Yes. Yeah,
like that was one thing I noticed too. I thought that was kind of different.
I was watching a Real Reject, and they were like, "Is that Will Forte?" And the more I looked at him when he was younger, I was like, "It does look like Will Forte." It wasn't, but it does look like him a lot.
Yeah, that was.
Wouldn't
funny.
That be the craziest thing if Will Forte showed up in One Piece?
I know, just like the randomest person ever. That's funny. With
a bunch of people we had never heard of before. Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Amanda?
I think what else did I think I was just gonna say I noticed everybody's shirts again, like last week. I think I was like, oh, I really like Nami's like black and white Hawaiian shirt, mm-hmm. and then Usopp had a really cool Hawaiian shirt this time, mm-hmm. and then like Zoro got that blue shirt that just kind of seemed to come out of nowhere
that Annabelle fell all over whenever she was reviewing anime with us.
Yes. So I like the wardrobe a lot. I would like some of that. I've been like on a tear for wardrobes that I've seen in shows lately. So
oh my god, you merch. Should dress like Zoro, like that girl we saw at the Comic-Con in Knoxville.
Yeah,
you should do with the blue shirt.
I'll try.
Okay, I was there with you guys, and I recognize your podcast stuff and pointed out to you guys, which I'm so sorry for, because once
oh, that was great,
but
it was
a lot. Do you guys have a picture of this girl? Because now that I've seen the show and know who is who.
No, I don't. Amanda, did I you don't. Get a picture?
No.
Okay.
We saw her very fleetingly, and I think I saw her maybe twice, but she looked so perfect. Like she had super duper short hair.
Mm-hmm.
Was it green? Did she have it striping
green? It was green. Yeah.
And I say, like, it better remember, be green.
Yeah, every time we saw her, I think we saw her a couple times, we were just like, oh, and then she went away.
And then she vanished before our very eyes. Yeah.
She was wearing, I want to say, like, the cream-colored shirt or the beige or whatever, and maybe brown pants. Maybe, like, what Zora's wearing in the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah. She didn't look
so good.
She didn't have the bandana on, did she?
No bandana.
Okay. But well, I had it on the arm, but...
She had a sword.
She had the earrings, I think.
Yeah. Just really good. It was a really good
one. I only have two ear holes. I need a third one. I'll just go pierce my ear for it.
I wonder if they make an earring that has like a line of all little three dangles, like a Zoro
That's
earring.
What I thought his was.
No, it's all it's three separate ones.
Yeah. And the actor has his pierced, right?
I think he said he had to get another one for it because I think maybe he only had two.
Hot.
I saw like a video of him the other day, and they were, it was like, it was one of those videos where like the crew was like sitting together and talking about stuff, and they were showing the fighting scene from the first episode where like Zora was in the in the fort, and like he was rolling around with all the swords and like, you know, killing people and shit. And I think it was Sanji's actor to ask Skylar, was like, that looks really complicated to fight with swords. Like, was that hard? And Zoro's actor goes, well, that's a hard question because nothing's hard to me. And I was like, okay, I like this guy.
He seems very Zoro-esque in his real life.
He does. Uh-huh. I like him. He's cool.
Yeah.
I really like Scarface.
Oh, Genzo?
Genzo. Gizmo.
Oh. I was like, okay, you like the Al Pacino? Yeah. Is that who that is? Al Pacino?
Yeah.
I think so.
Anyway.
Yeah. But no, I really liked him. He seems like a nice guy. And then when Usopp, when they're walking through the tangerine field, when he says the line, anybody else really feel like I feel like I got a boat body and not a walking body. You guys want me to go get the boat so you don't have to walk all the way back?
Same,
really,
bro.
Truly tickled me. Yeah, I've got a boat body, but like not even like a steering the boat body, like a laying on the boat like a fish.
Yeah, I've got a couch body.
Yeah.
I've got a recliner with a massager and a heater and a cup holder.
Yes. Yep. And then also Garp. Garp. So Zeph. That one's easy to remember because he's Zeph the chef.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So Zeph says, I've got a few steaks in a cooler that's broken or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then he offers the meal to all four of them that mm-hmm. are at the restaurant, but only Garp. Rap?
Garp. You had Garp, it right like, the first time.
Like carp, the fish, like a carp.
Yes, carp. Or like AARP, but only one A.
Carp. In a G instead of the other.
I'm making it worse.
Garp is the only one that gets a steak, even though I think that it is offered to all of them. And I he seems like a piece of crap.
Yeah. Well, Garp. I mean, he just really likes to eat like Luffy, you know.
I thought that was really funny how he was like, now you like Kobe said, both Garp and Luffy have a love of meat.
I know,
and
you I have just that see quote. Garp I thought it was so funny. I should have known from the way they both love meat.
Yeah.
Garp was like, now you're speaking my language.
Yeah, then they're like disgusted. I don't know, disgusted, but they're like, oh my god, when they're watching him eat. And then somebody said, that's nothing, you should see him in a curry house.
Oh yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, I was like the Inspector Gadget guy off to the side.
Yeah, that one, Bogart, right?
Because yeah, like Bogart, that's his name.
That guy is so cool. He's like the coolest person on the show, no doubt. Like he's a film noir detective with his little cape. I love that. I need a show about him. Yeah.
Did he say anything except for you should see him in a curry house?
I don't think he did.
I don't know.
He doesn't say much, really.
He really doesn't. He has
like maybe one line. I think that's all he does. He's kind of just like there.
He's like, I'm still here helping you out. I'm in the background. And
Not getting a fucking steak. Damn.
Yeah, he had 12 of them. Did Garp eat all 12?
Probably.
Jesus.
That sounds like him.
And his cholesterol must be through the roof.
That's less, why he's so hectic all the time.
Yeah. Less medium, more rare.
I like the way my husband eats it.
I like mine well fucking done.
Not a big steak. I like steak mine. Person.
I don't like steak.
I don't like steak either. But even burgers, I want them cooked all the way through. I want to make sure.
Oh yeah, ground meat, cook that shit. I don't want it red at all.
No.
I will agree on ground meat, but on steak, I gotta have some red in there.
Ground meat, give me a hot dog.
Hmm? Hell yeah.
I like a fajita. I love a hot dog. Like a steak fajita, because it's thin.
Or a Philly.
And it sizzles.
And well done. I think you pronounce it vagina.
I was going to do that, and then I was like, someone else should. I don't think I'm going to do that one.
I saw something the other day, and it was like a mixed drink, and they put a hot dog in it, and they like cut a hole out of the middle.
Uh-uh.
And they put it in the drink, and they called it a Schlong Island iced tea.
No, my God.
It's really funny, but really gross.
I was going to say, it better be a Bloody Mary, because nothing else could be remotely good with a hot dog.
Those are so sweet, too. Oh, my God.
A Long Island and hot dog?
Oh, yeah, that's it. You know you want to try it now. You know you want a Schlong Island iced tea.
Did they, like, push a boba straw through it?
I was wondering how they got the hole through it too. Like, maybe they had like one of those weenie sticks and just, yeah, like a skewer or something. Yeah, you know, for roasting weenies over the fire.
Not like a barbecue or like I punched my mic.
No, like a
kebab skewer.
I mean, that would work too, but I was talking about like
so many times though.
Yeah. To be able to suck liquid out of it.
All of the
straw. That'll work because they're bigger.
Yeah, they're bigger.
We are mature, man.
Yeah. We care about size anyway. Here on the Going Merry.
Three of us on this podcast have eaten Mexican food together. So the next time we do that, because we're going to. I will give $50 to anybody that orders steak fajitas.
Oh no.
And a Long Island iced tea.
What a horrible meal.
Bring your own hot dog to the restaurant.
Oh, that would be so funny.
Just at like my house.
Yes. And we'll post it to the Discord so everybody can see it.
No, just like
I'm not drinking it though.
I'll drink it.
Just be sitting at the restaurant or whatever, order a Long Island iced tea, and as soon as the waiter brings it out, just whip a not in a bag or anything, pull a hot dog out of your purse and just stick it in the drink.
I'd like a vodka hot dog water, please. I did have to think for a second though. I was like, oh, you guys got Mexican food together. And then I was like, oh no, I was a part of
it. I mean, you were there.
I was absolutely there.
Yeah, I am the one that was not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Do that again. Ooh, where are we going to go?
I don't know. You tell us.
I know. I'm thinking.
Poor me.
Wherever they have the best fajitas.
Yeah. Fajitas and.
Right here. My house.
Oh. She did the little like DMX, like woo. Like,
yeah,
that's a wrestling reference for those of you.
Suck it, pants.
Suck it, DMX.
Or if you watch Impractical Jokers, it's the Joe Gatto does it on top of the tram in New York, and he's trying to present his genitalia to the world.
I watched a little video last night where Joe had lost, and so he was doing like the punishment or whatever, and so he had to sit in a room with like a parenting class with all these little kids, and so he had this random girl that was pretending to be his daughter, and she was like four, and her shirt said one tequila, two tequila, three tequila, four. And so they asked him, they were like, so
fantastic show.
They were like, so what educational programs do you use for parenting? And he's like, I find the dog whisperer helps out the most. And he tells her, it's like, I lay down, yeah, roll over. And then when he does, he gives her a Cheerio or something. It was hilarious. And just the other parents looking on their faces. Oh, man, it was rough. Oh, man.
It's a great show. Great show.
It is. It's so funny. I know some people that can't stand it. I'm like, okay, it's great. And I look at that and I'm like, what would I do in that situation? Like, I would be pretty good at that. I would say that. And then there's others. I was like, I'm like, nope, wouldn't do it. No way. Mm-hmm. Okay, back to One Piece. I really liked the way that Sanji like talked hit their way into Nojiko's house. I thought that was kind of funny, like how smooth he was, and he just like said exactly what she needed to hear. Is like, you know, she was being very hostile, and I don't blame her for that. But he was like, "How about I cook you some food?"
I let him in.
You know, like I would let him in too. That sounds really fucking tempting.
I mean, I don't have to cook. Sweet.
He cooks for someone, they're like, "This is the best meal I've ever had."
The hell?
We're gonna have listeners showing up to our house, be like, "Hey, you want me to cook for you?"
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I can't cook for shit.
Me either.
I could set fire making cereal.
Speaking of that,
I'm shocked I haven't yet.
I do want to shout out real quick all of our listeners. You guys are awesome. This week, actually, I guess it was last week, we officially hit over 1,500 listens in this podcast only being a thing for 5 months. And that is absolutely awesome. I am so thankful for each and every one of you. And it is very much appreciated that you take some of the time out of your day and stuff to listen to us. I don't understand why people listen to the dumb shit I say, but people enjoy it. So, and then there's Amanda and Whitney too, but you know, that's fine. Anyway, what were you going to say, Amy?
It's just, that's awesome. That's exciting. Congratulations.
I got really excited when I saw it. Thank you.
That's impressive. I wasn't really expecting it.
I wasn't either. Like, because I had a, you know, I had a football podcast before this, and I think in like a year of having it, I had like 400 listens or something like that, you know? So to get...
That's football. Nobody follows that.
And so it was like over, you know, in just a 5 month period, over 1,500 listens, like, was pretty exciting to see those numbers. Like, we're averaging over 100 episodes or over 100 listens per episode now, which is insane. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's awesome. So thank you to everyone that that listens.
Like I said, I'm so proud of my children. Like my little, it's not my, not my podcast, but like our podcast children, like it's pride. It's y'all are doing good.
Our purple parents.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah,
it's Mom and Dad and Dad.
I think it's Mom or Mommy if you're nasty. I think Daddy and Father, because I was calling. It was Daddy Brandon and Father Clinton. I need a new one for Keith.
Oh, so Pa? There's a Paw.
Yeah.
That Canadian. Paw Keith. Paw Keith. It's got to be.
Who wants Paw. A French one? I know he's not French, but
I don't know French.
I don't either. Fager. I don't think that's French. Yeah, so Emmy, there is a...
Emmy? Oh, you're going to tell her first. Go ahead.
There is a character in the anime, and I don't think the live action gets to the point where he would come in, so I'm kind of hoping he'll be in season two, but his name is Daddy the Father. And...
It's redundant and repetitive.
I know, but he's so cool. And... I really want Pedro Pascal to play him in live action. I think that would be, and he even kind of looks like him too. I think that would be a great casting.
I mean, if I were going to call anybody, Daddy the Father.
I was going to say, like, Pedro Pascal playing a character called Daddy. I know a lot of people would love that. Mm-hmm. That would be really
My body funny. Just went numb for a second.
I would like for him to play that part in my bedroom. I'm sorry.
And there's already so
we're
many
all thinking it is TikTok fine. The show.
Imagine if Pedro hit One Piece, like,
wow, yeah, that would be wild.
I'll put him in Game of Thrones, Mandalorian, So the Star Wars universe and anime.
Yep, that would. Then he's just missing in Marvel.
I know.
He's not. Right, I feel like he's not missing because he's a variant of Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
Okay.
Father in French is père.
Père?
Oh.
I don't like that.
And that's I'm sorry, I'm probably not saying it right. People who speak
French. Got it.
Père. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
No, you're fine. The scene where Nami goes up to the rest of the crew, like standing in the circle as they kind of watched her collecting, that was a tough scene to watch.
Mm-hmm. Vicious.
It was and Emily Rudd was so impressive to me in that scene because she was saying all of this super mean stuff, and you know, as Nami, but also you could see the pain in Nami's eyes for every word that she was saying. And that was so impressive to me that Emily Rudd was able to pull that off. Like just the, you know, the right look in her eyes was just absolutely insane. She was being super mean and super forceful, but yet you could still see all of her thoughts. And then whenever she turns around to walk away, it just gets confirmed even more because you see, you know, then it, her eyes, like the look in her eyes drifts to her face and you like can almost see tears ready to roll. Like, damn, she did a great job in that scene. And that's not even the scene that I was talking about before where I had a high bar. This would not have been a high bar for me. She blew that scene out of the fucking water. Like, well done, Emily Rudd. Well done.
She's done that before, like in little ways, when she pretended early on in the series to be on the boat. She tricked the buggy pirates into switching boat, where she was like, oh, you know, my crew was killed and I need rescuing, yada yada. I mean, she's really good at portraying something while meaning something else. I think, like I said before, as an actress, you're already pretending to be someone else. But when you're having to be someone else who's also pretending to be something else, that's really hard to do.
Absolutely.
That's I really saw that a lot whenever she was talking to Luffy. And she's saying, like, I was never part of your stupid crew. But, like, you could see it in her eyes. Like, that's not how she felt. Like, you could... There were just subtle little things that made it so that you knew that that's not what she actually meant, but what she was saying.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah,
I completely agree.
Emmy, did you have anything else on this scene that, or on any of these that we kind of went over here a little bit?
I mean, the note that I have probably during every scene is Zoro is hot, so is Sanji.
It deserves to be wrote down.
Yeah.
It's nice to be together. Together.
Yeah, it is nice.
Just whatever your mood is for the day, there they are.
Okay, so back at the Baratier, Garp munches on a delicious-looking steak. The two veterans of the seas discuss the past and that a new generation is hitting the seas. And Luffy is only part of the coming wave of young pirates. At Arlong Park, the Fishman Pirates party, and Nami tries to talk to Arlong about their deal as Captain Nozomi arrives to discuss business with Arlong. Nozomi goes upstairs with Arlong and has a further discussion. In the flashback again, Nami and Bellamere make it back to the house. The two children hide as Bellamere gets ready for the arrival of the Fishman. When Arlong barges in, he immediately is about to stop, he's immediately able to stop Bellamere and take full control of the situation. Arlong tries to collect a total of 200,000 berries to cover the family of three, but Bellamere only has 100,000, which will cover just the two girls. Arlong pulls out his pistol and kills Bellamere. Back at Arlong Park, Nozomi attempts to change the deal with Arlong, but Arlong intimidates his way out of it and brings the deal back in his favor. After Nozomi leaves, Nami tells Arlong that she has all 100 million berries for her deal as well. After she walks out to get the money, Arlong has Kurobe bring Nozomi back in the room. Amanda, we can start with you. What do you think of all these scenes?
The flashback part was super sad. Mm-hmm. I don't think we quite got... I mean, we definitely keep seeing how terrible Arlong is. Like, destroyed the town, and now he's collecting money. But I think they explained it in the anime a little bit more, like, how much he was collecting from each person, and it was, like, monthly, I think, right? Or it was, like,
monthly.
It was like rent, basically. So these people had to pay that much every single month. It wasn't just like he's collecting now and then that's it. So I don't know if like that impact was fully felt with like just how much he's taking from these people. And then like obviously she can't pay for all three of them now. So kind of what's going to happen to the rest of the people in that town? Like it didn't seem like everybody who lived there was particularly wealthy or anything like that, so it just like makes you wonder how many other families have to like go through that kind of thing. And then I think they did the whole scene with the kids hiding under the floor pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was upsetting. I'm glad they didn't like make it too graphic, because they kind of just like, we see that like he just shoots her right next to the kids, they would have mm-hmm. gotten like blood spatter. I'm really glad they didn't do anything mm-hmm. horrible like that, but
mm-hmm.
that's just terrible that they had to see that when they were so little. And then it just keeps getting worse, because then we get back to present day, and then Nami's explaining that she's got the money, but then it's kind of gonna go south, because now what's his face, cat ears, bear ears, hat Nozomi is in the picture.
Yes.
Mouse man.
Yeah.
Mouse man. Every other animal that I didn't see. Yeah. Yeah. So now he's in the picture. And then you're like, wait a minute, what's going to happen now with this money? Because Arlong is clearly not going to honor the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's about all I had for this part.
Okay.
Yeah.
Emmy, what about you?
Arlong's fucking bad. His voice might be hot, but he's a bad, bad, evil fucking dude.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to think that if I was a pirate and somebody couldn't pay me as much money as I was demanding of them, I wouldn't just be like, oh, yeah, and you're the only caretaker of these two children? Let me just shoot you, because fuck you. Like, that's just really, really evil. And I don't think that I needed to state that, but, you know, here we are. And then also the fact that he... gave Mouse Man the location and the amount of the other berries that Nami was going to use.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it seems to me as though Nami has been a loyal part of his crew and has done everything that has been asked of her, he has the map, the great map. Mm-hmm. What do you call it?
What's the Grand Line.
To the Grand Line.
To the Grand Line. He's got the map now. Like, she has done everything that he has asked her to do, and for him to turn on her. And even in the beginning of this episode, when she says, you know, we don't lie about money in this crew. Well, it seems like Arlong does, because he is what a bad fucking dude.
Completely agree.
All right.
Yes. It showed how truly evil
mm-hmm.
he is. And I think that we have another candidate for a punch in the face. But watch it, because he's got sharp things on his nose.
He's got toothpicks on his nose.
Toothpicks?
Yeah, Derek can't get over the fact that they look like toothpicks.
They look like toothpicks sticking out of his nose.
No, they don't.
No, go ahead. Look at it again. Because he
goes, go ahead. Go ahead, look at them.
Go look at it again, because it is fucking toothpicks.
Oh, I will.
I swear.
Ask Bonnie.
What?
You never heard that before?
I don't even know what you said.
It's the same as saying, I swear. I Swanee. Like old people mountain speak. Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
I've never heard that one either.
See, it's just you, Whitney. Who taught you that? What the hell's wrong with you?
I'm an old mountain woman.
I'm not saying no.
No, that's exactly what Emmy's saying.
I wasn't saying that.
Don't worry, Emmy. It's okay. I'll put words in your mouth.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So, can I get some Zorro in my mouth?
I swanny. I wouldn't mind some Zorro in my mouth.
I was wondering if that was going to come out at all here. Okay. Whitney, what about you?
Oh, rat face. I hated him in the anime. I hate him here. I like that he's not quite as like squeaky like a rat as he is in the anime, but he still sucks. He's still a bad, bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a Marine, so he's another example of some Marines are bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just pirates, but it still makes me so mad that Bellamere just couldn't lie and be like, I was going to have company later. Like, I invited my neighbors to dinner, but mm-hmm. I mean, I know that's not where the story was supposed to go. And she even says, I would never lie about you, which, okay.
So it's honorable, but I don't know if you remember or not, in the anime, Genzo is there and he actually lies for her. He was like, oh, I was coming over with one of my friends later.
Yeah. And I'm sure if she had done that, they probably still would have like raided her house or something. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I think
would have happened, but
the same end result.
Yeah. And
Amir still came clean. She was like, look, I've got two daughters. And it was for the same reason she talked about in the live action. It was like, I'm not going to deny my daughters. Like,
They'll have some sympathy because they're children, but Arlong has no sympathy. So I feel like my notes are in here, so I'm assuming that there's a little scene in between. I can't remember exactly, but it's more of Luffy and Zoro talking about the Nami situation. And I really, really liked what they were saying. And Luffy said, because we know Luffy's not stupid, but he's not the brightest bulb. He doesn't really, he's not sophisticated very often, but he says, I'm tired of hearing about Nami from other people,
mm-hmm.
which was huge to me. I was mm-hmm. like, wow, he wants to hear it from her, which mm-hmm. she's probably never gotten the chance to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Zoro a little bit later says, she told you to leave, and Luffy said, so did you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that hit me hard because we know how loyal Zoro is to Luffy now.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really impactful. I love the kind of the prejudice, civil rights kind of undertones that are going on with the fishmen. Mm-hmm. There's some history here that we don't know a lot about yet. I mean, they made it pretty clear earlier on that fishmen were persecuted in some way and that there was slavery with the fishmen. And obviously Arlong is very bitter about that, which I get that, of course, but he's taken that bitterness from that and turned it into like a genocide that mm-hmm. he's wanting to commit. Mm-hmm. So, and he even says later on in the show is like, we're going to,
they're gonna live beneath us.
Yeah.
Beneath us. That's we're the superior. Place.
Yeah. We're superior in every way, which I guess physically he's probably right. They're stronger, they swim better, they're better fighters, whatever, but does that
look at them?
Yeah, but look at them. That's so racist, Emmy. But does that make you a better living thing is the question, right?
Yeah.
But I really like that whole exchange between him and Ratface where Ratface lets go of his prejudice just a little bit and he says, you're smarter than they give you credit for. It was almost like a shade went across Arlong's face and he was like immediately like, oh, that's what we're gonna do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like Arlong, but I like Ratface even less, so I really liked what he did to him. He didn't fight him, he didn't hit him, he didn't attack him, but he basically used a very calm voice to get that money back. He's like, oh, okay, I see what you're saying. You think I'm less than you. You didn't think I was smart. I can't remember exactly what he said. It was much more sophisticated than what I said. And then it ended with Arlong saying to Ratface, you're much smarter than people give you credit for. Yeah, perfect. I love that.
Which I feel like Ratface could have turned around and been like, what, for a mouse man? And they could have just back and forth. True. That like, would have given the money to each other.
I would have loved if he did that. Just been like, mouse man?
Yeah. What do you fucking mean?
What do you mean? For smart for a rat? What?
For what? Yeah, for a rat? What?
Yeah. And I can't remember. Does he have whiskers in the live action?
Okay,
I couldn't remember.
Yes, he definitely does, and they are thick boys, and I hate them.
Thick boys. I loved that, and similar to the anime, we got the Jinbei name drop here. I know none of you know who Jinbei is, but Jinbei is awesome. So
well, I'm assuming he's a warlord that is a fish man. So.
Correct. Yes, he is.
Because I can't remember the exact exchange, but he said something about Jinbei, and then he says Jinbei was a, what does he say?
A sellout or something like that, or a piece
something
of shit.
Similar
or,
to that, yeah. like he was nothing, like he is not for the cause, right?
The
cause anymore.
Arlong here feels, kind of like what you touched on. He felt really intimidating. Like, I thought he felt very Arlong. And honestly, pretty much every scene he's in, he pretty much demands the attention. Like, you cannot help but pay attention to him, whatever is going on. So I thought that they did a great job with him here. I thought, definitely a piece of shit, but, good writing and good acting. I know you were both talking about Bellamir earlier, how she didn't quite feel as badass, and I think part of it is this scene with Arlong too. So in the anime, whenever Arlong barges into the house, Bellamir lays him out and has him on his back, and she actually sits on his chest and has her gun pointed in his mouth.
I was gonna say, doesn't she have a gun?
And so, like, at the beginning, she's like, it's like, as a viewer, you're watching her completely dominate this massive guy, and you're like, oh, shit. And now, very quickly, Arlong basically bites her gun in half. And so, the tables turn quickly, but that little scene with Bellamir was something that they did not do here, that I, like you were kind of talking about, it kind of took away from her badass side a little bit that we didn't really see. Something that I've talked about throughout this live action review, and it was more toward the beginning, and it was something that I didn't notice, was throughout this whole season so far, Nami has not felt money hungry at all. And so I was kind of curious, waiting for us to get to this moment, to see if they were still going to do the 100 million berry thing, because that was kind of the explanation for why she was so money hungry, is because over the past 10 to 12 years, whatever the hell it's been, she has been stealing as much money as she possibly can to get this 100 million berries. Like, it's become such a main focus for her that it's habit. That's why she's like that in the anime. It's a huge part of her character. And this is, figuring out this deal, we find out the reason why that she was so annoying with it throughout the first 30 episodes of the anime, or whatever the hell it is at this point. And here it wasn't like that. Like, that's why I was kind of curious if they were still going to do the 100 million berry thing, because she has not been money hungry at all, and the live action hardly. The only time that I can think of where she kind of was in the mansion with Kaya, where she started stealing stuff, but then she went and put it back. Mm-hmm. Other than that, she hasn't even mentioned the money. Part of me, I was like, depending on how they do that, I could see that being something I didn't like later, because how are you going to not be money hungry? But then all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, here's the rest of my money to make this deal work. Like, where the hell have you been getting that for the past, you know, as long as we've seen you now? Like, they've been several places. We would see her taking at least something. Go ahead, Emmy.
I was going to say she's been stealing it from the Arlong's crew playing cards.
That's a good point too. Yeah. I mean,
I'm sure that supplemented it somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. I bet that is part of it. And like what I kind of told myself was that she got it, that she got the rest of the money before she went on this latest trip. And then like this most recent trip to leave the Arlong Pirates was to get the map for Arlong to kind of set it over the top. So that's good, kind of what I was telling myself. Like, I liked the way they did it because they did make it seem like it's not something that she had still been working on recently. Like, it's something that she had already done and was just trying to do a little bit more. So I like the way they did it. And something else I'll mention since we're on the topic of money hungry. First couple episodes, I talked quite a bit about Zoro being money hungry. And then I didn't like it. And pretty much since then, I have not seen anything. Like, I think there was one line at the beginning of episode 3, but that's pretty much disappeared from his character. And so, like, I'm okay with that. Like, I prefer him to not be money hungry. So I'm glad that they've gotten away from that to where he just feels like Zoro now. He feels like a more anime, like he feels more like anime Zoro than he did at the first episode or two. Anything else on this before we move on?
Nope.
Cool.
No.
At the Baratier, Gobi and Helmeppo sit at the bar and discuss the situation. After a few shots, Gobi begins to spill the details about Garp being Luffy's grandfather. Amidst their conversation, the bartender pipes up and tells them about a kid with a straw hat that was around not too long ago and headed to the Konomi Islands.
Also snitch.
I was gonna say if you're gonna call Kobe a snitch, you gotta call the bartender a snitch too.
Mezuka does that all the time too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He probably does.
I saw that guy here just last week.
Yeah, he was just polishing that glass. Like, yeah, I know I was here last week. He does that all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He totally does. It's a normal thing for him. It's his extra tips. Zeff drops to Garp that Luffy reminds him of Gold Roger. The two Marine cadets interrupt it, and Garp and interrupt them and tell Garp that Luffy is headed to the Konomi Islands. Nami goes by Bellamere's grave and begins digging for her chest containing 100 million berries. Nojiko arrives and blows a gasket when she sees what's happening. In the flashback again, Nami approaches Arlong about joining his crew, and Nami fills Nojiko in on the whole situation, and then Nezumi approaches to confiscate the 100 million. Nami screams in pain as all the work she has put into collecting that money over the past 10 years crumbles away, along with the freedom and lives of everyone in her village. Arlong and his crew prepare to march for the village in another assault. Nami, meanwhile, sprints to Arlong Park to try to intervene, but she collapses to her knees, and she knows it's too far for her to reach. She begins to weep, and she screams in anger and pain, and begins to stab her Arlong tattoo repeatedly. Luffy grabs her hand to prevent her from hurting herself anymore, and Nami's tears continue to flow as she turns to Luffy and finally says, "Luffy, help me." Luffy informs Zoro, Sanji, and Usopp that it is time to step in. Emmy, let's hit you first.
Don't hit me. I thought that this was a very moving part. The flashback of Nami, she goes to Arlong and says, "My name is Nami. You killed my mother. Prepare to die." Right?
Oh, good.
She does say the first two lines of that.
Yeah.
And that's everything I could think of after. But I love that it showed that Nami is kind of selfless here, that she was really trying to do the right thing, and that she was trying to protect the people that she loved, like her sister, mm-hmm. by not letting on that that's what she was trying to do. Her stabbing herself, my mm-hmm. God.
Yeah.
Trying to get that tattoo off was brutal.
Yes.
Brutal.
Which, if you're going to remove a tattoo from your arm, I feel like stabbing is the worst way. Wouldn't you just slice it? Just fillet? Yeah.
Just like Zeph did his leg.
Like Zeph did with the fish for Zorro. Like, just slice it.
Just fillet it.
Shave it off like a ham, like deli meat.
There you go. Yeah. Very thin. Very thin. Sorry. Level one, please.
Go to the deli in your local food city and just put your shoulder in there and do a couple spicy swipes. Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway.
So if you guys are eating a sandwich while you're listening.
I know.
One-handed. One-handed. But no, I loved that it showed that Nami was doing everything for the right reasons,
mm-hmm.
and that she had a plan for everything, and then it just got too big for her to handle on her own, and that she was capable of saying, look, I need help. And she was able to recognize that and ask for the help that she needed. The fisherman, whenever Arlong was giving that like motivational speech, at the end of it, they all start barking.
Oh.
You know, like, what? No. I'm pretty sure that you should be doing glub glubs at boats.
Glub glub glub.
Glub, 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 glub. I'm sorry, that was probably also racist.
Oh my God. This is why Arlong is the way he is.
That's you why cannot bark, you have to glub, glub.
Just Arlong walks into a bar and all you hear is everyone around him glub, glub, glub.
Oh, jeez, I'm sorry. I don't have a lot of... I don't have a lot of fishman friends. I need to make more, apparently.
Nemo. That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is it, honestly. But no, I like the way that this episode ended. This episode being the penultimate episode of this series. Kind of like gearing everybody up where Luffy's saying, of course I will, of course I will. And like they do the split screen that you guys talked about already, where mm-hmm. it's all four of them on screen, and it's like, yeah, blah! Like we're just gearing up for this like huge finale.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll leave it there since you haven't seen it yet.
Hey,
and I don't remember it, so
I don't know if anyone has seen Emily Rudd's Instagram, but she posted a picture of her arm and it was just completely bruised
from where she stabbed herself.
Yes, from filming, because she was actually like stabbing herself with a prop, and it took me a second to, because like I don't think she put a caption or anything on it, and so it took me a second to figure out what it was. I was like, shit, that's from that scene.
Flat, right? They just like added the blade and she just was using like a flat thing.
I'm wondering if it was like one of those push-in blades, so like as she stabs herself, like it pushes into the handle a little bit, so it's not actually like hurting,
but only a little bit, so that you can still show, because like, you know, you've got the ones that you go all the way in and it goes all the way up to the hilt, but because I feel like it would be, it would look weird if she was stabbing herself
and it all the way,
way through her arm and it doesn't come out the other side.
I know, that's what I was wondering. I'm like, that's making a slice.
But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool when I saw that picture that she posted. I kind of felt bad for her. It makes me wonder, like, how many takes did she have to sit there and just stab herself repeatedly with? Like, how bad did her arm feel following filming?
Okay, but she didn't
act as bad as when I got double vaccines in my arm the other day. couldn't lift my arm for like 3 to 4 days.
That'd do it.
Really?
Yeah, because they let you get your last year. Last year when I got my flu shot and my COVID shot, they were like, you can only get it in one in each arm. So then like I couldn't lift both arms last time. Oh. But then this time they were like, oh no, you can do it like in your same arm. So I was like, okay, just do it. But then I couldn't, you know, this hurt for like 4 days.
Oh.
Anyway, I'm sure it was painful.
Yeah, it had to have been.
Yeah.
Amanda, what did you think about the wrap up in this episode?
I really enjoyed this bonding scene that Helmut, Bo, and Kobe had at the bar. I just thought it was really funny. It was kind of like Helmut, Bo is the older brother trying to get him into trouble in a way. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, like what made me look this up, but they ordered or Helmut, Bo ordered Mistral shooters. And so I wondered if that was a real drink, and it's not like a shot, but it's a cocktail that has Chambord, which is raspberry liqueur, and dry white wine. So it's a very funny little pink drink for them to be having, if that's what it really was.
That actually sounds kind of good.
Very frou-frou, but also yeah. It does sound very good.
Yeah,
it does sound good. And I thought it was funny that he was like feeding him drinks to get him to the snitch about the Garp being his grandfather thing. And then that's where he says that I should have known that they were related based on how they both love meat. The scene with Nojiko and Nami, where she's kind of explaining everything, why she did everything, was tough to watch. Because you could just, I mean, like, as Nojiko came in there just all pissed off because she thought she was doing something to the mom's grave. So they kind of hashed it out. And I'm glad that Nojiko finally was let in on the plan. Understandably, Nami didn't want the whole village to suffer, so that's why she didn't tell anybody. And I don't remember if in the anime, two things. Was she yelling out Arlong's name when she was stabbing herself? I didn't like that. I don't know why. I just like didn't like why are you saying his name? Like, I get it, he sucks, but I just didn't need to hear his name.
The voice actress, like, in the anime, says it quite a few more times. Like, she says it repeatedly, and like you can really hear the pain in her voice. Like the way, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think both of them were done well. Slightly different, but I think both were done well.
Yeah, I guess I didn't need that. I think I just, like, for me, screaming would have just been fine. Did it happen at night in the anime, or was it during the day?
It was during the day.
Okay, I liked it better at night. I liked it when it was dark. Like dark out or whatever.
To your point of her yelling Arlong's name, I feel like your relationship with Arlong started with him fucking murdering your mom. I don't know that I would have so much emotion wrapped up in the person that is Arlong to the point where I would say his name over and over again. I see exactly where you're coming from.
I would have just been like, you fucking piece of shit. I would have just been cursing and, you know.
Yeah.
But they can't do that, so that's understandable.
Damn it. But like, yeah, because I don't think I would blame him. I would maybe even blame myself a little bit for being so not even trusting, but like thinking that I could somehow like circumvent his bullshit. I don't know.
That makes sense.
That'd be interesting. But yeah, I definitely wouldn't be like, oh my God, you betrayed me. You fucking person who betrayed me the first time that we met. Like, that's.
Yeah. Cause like, I mean, I have people who I do not enjoy. And I don't think I would, I'm trying to imagine if I were like mad about it, I would just, you know, curse them out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I get that.
Or
they
maybe
can't
just
do that.
Like a scream, like just screaming.
Yeah, just like a blah. Just madness. Gross, man.
Yeah. I would have loved it if that's what she said.
This is not fucking Boston. For real.
This is not Boston.
That would have been so out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah. God.
But yeah, somebody who pissed me off, like Arlong pissed her off, I wouldn't want to give them any more power by saying their name. I completely see. Amanda, now that you've said that, I think it does, it annoys me as well a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't really need it to be there, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I mean, I thought they did a good job of adapting the scene. And then I really liked when Luffy showed up and put his hat on her head, because I liked that in the anime too. I thought that was just like a little action like that, because we all know how important his hat is to him. So now he's kind of like, you're my friend, wear my hat. I'm gonna go take care of shit.
Like, I got you.
Let this cover you. Yeah.
And then like, I liked how it ended. I liked the little four panel shot of everybody gearing up to go fight, and it's nice that they're all willing to go, and even though, you know,
Usopp's gonna do nothing
as long. Yeah, I know.
You don't know that, Derek.
He might do something.
I mean, he did take out Chu in the anime, and I enjoyed it. They better show the fucking rubber band of doom in the finale. If they don't, I'm gonna be pissed.
Interesting.
Whitney, what about you?
I have a theory, and you're gonna laugh. But I know you can't tell me. So the discussion between Garp and Zeff reminds me of another pirate we knew back in our glory day. The kid reminds me of Gold Roger.
Mm-hmm.
I have a theory. And I know Garp and Luffy are so alike. But what if? Everybody's going to laugh at me who's watched One Piece. I get it. What if Zeff and Garp were pirates together in Gold Roger's crew, and Garp took Luffy away from his real grandfather, Gold Roger?
Gold Rogers.
That's pretty legit. I mean, I wouldn't think that doesn't.
Did I just figure it out, Derek? Did I just figure it out?
I am going to hold my hands on my face here for a little bit to completely hide shit.
And the reason he wants him to be Marine is because he was really born to. Well, I don't know who he was born to, but his grandfather was a pirate, the most infamous pirate in the world.
So do you think Roger was his dad or his grandfather?
I feel like he was his grandfather, and Garp took him and said, I'm your grandfather.
Okay.
I'm your grandfather now.
I almost said father, but when Gold Roger was executed, a lot of the older people we see, which Garp was still kind of old at the time, I guess, but like, Hawkeye was young. Who else did we see in the audience?
So the
baby
excuse
smoker.
Me?
That it's been 20 years since Roger's execution.
So I feel like Gold Roger and Garp would be around the same age. So I feel like he could be grandfather. I don't know that he's dad. He might be dad. I don't know. But I feel like he wouldn't they didn't look close enough or far enough apart in age for Gold Roger to be Garp's son.
But men can do that into their freaking hundreds.
No, yeah, I know. I'm saying I don't think Garp is Gold Roger's father. So I don't think Gold Roger is Luffy's father. I think he's his grandfather, and Garp took him from the ship and became a Marine to turn Luffy into a pirate or into a Marine.
But Gold Rogers could still be father.
Yeah, he could. Very true. Could be his dad.
Grap could but not Garp be related.
Be his father.
But no, but he could just not be related at all and be like, I'm going to save this child and
yes, that
away from this life of crime.
That.
Mm-hmm.
That. That.
Yeah.
Clap, applause.
I think that makes sense.
Okay.
I would believe
it. So anyway, that was my big theory from earlier. Everything else, when Ratface steals all the berry from Nami, I felt Nami's desperation because she tried to fight. Nojiko wouldn't let her.
Somebody's holding her down there for a minute and she's just screaming. Yeah. You can't do this.
It was the scream and just like it was almost animal-like.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know how hard she's worked. But the weird fish man rally, I don't know if that's a good word to use.
That's completely accurate.
There was fire involved, okay?
Yeah.
But yeah, we already talked about it earlier. It's like fishmen superiority, teach them their rightful place. And then, of course, the most heartbreaking scene, right, was Nami on her knees after stabbing her arm, and Luffy grabs her arm to stop her. And then it pans up to his face and he's just looking at her very seriously. My heart leapt up into my chest. Or wait, it's already in my chest. My throat.
I keep it somewhere else.
My throat. And I went,
It moved somewhere, damn it.
Because again, Luffy is so unserious. He's so unserious most of the time. And this whole thing has bothered him so badly. And you can really tell. That the whole situation, like when he said, I'm tired of hearing about Nami from other people. He knows something's not right and he knows she needs help. He just needs to hear it from her.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when she says, help me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The music in this scene was really good also. I don't know if anybody else noticed it, but it was a little different than your typical like orchestra music.
Mm-hmm.
Was it her like theme song?
I think
I don't know
so.
If you've listened to the score, but there's like one that's
with the words in it.
Yeah,
I think it was just they didn't have the words yet.
Yeah, because I heard that all through the episode. It was just like the instrumental version of it, so yeah, that might have been
really
I didn't
good.
Hear it there, but
and I highly suggest everybody listen to that song on Spotify on the main playlist. It is so good. Like
it is
it's
good.
Just,
I like
it gives
that
me goosebumps every time. But I didn't mind her screaming Arlong. What I kind of cringed a little bit at was Luffy saying, of course I will.
Yeah, I didn't love that.
Yes.
But I feel like that was very anime.
It was very anime. And I didn't mind the first, of course I will. It was the second, arms up, of course I will. Mm-hmm. Kind of got me a little bit. But again, I don't mind it. I don't mind stuff like that at all. But especially with it being an anime adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
And the crew all together getting ready. And Luffy's face, he's pissed. He's ready to go. I love angry Luffy. I've always loved even anime. Angry Luffy is my favorite Luffy. The only thing missing was the song.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it was great.
Okay. So I guess all that's left is me. Zeph and Garp sitting there and talking. And Zeph is going through meat stories. And all he's talking about is the meat that he's eaten in the past. And Garp is completely enthralled in this conversation. Like, he is just paying attention to every single word that Zeph is using to describe this meat. And I thought that was hilarious. Zeph claiming that Luffy reminds him of Gold Roger. It was fun to throw in, but the way that I felt like they built it in the live action, it kind of felt unwarranted to me because of the fact that, like, I was, and we talked about this last week in last week's episode, they really didn't build much relationship between Zeph and Luffy. Like, there was the scene in the kitchen where Luffy stood up to Zeph about Sanji feeding, you know, about Sanji feeding the guy, and you need to let Zeph go, or you need to let Sanji go so he can cook. And it was like that little 3-minute scene. And then there was the scene with Zeph patching Zoro up, and Luffy was, of course, there. And that's about all we got as far as the scenes with Zeph and Luffy really talking to each other much at all. And so I'm sure that they would have talked more if we like had more time to, but out of everything that we saw, Zeph saying, oh yeah, he's like Gold Roger after talking to him for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, just didn't
maybe
feel
that's
like
all he needed.
I mean,
there also could have been off screen stuff that we didn't see.
Exactly. There, you know, if they would have said that in the anime, it would have made me feel a lot better about it, because they talked a lot more in the anime. Zeph and Luffy got pretty close in the anime. You know, not obviously like father-son close, but close, you know, they talked a lot. So with all of that missing, it just didn't feel like it meant quite as much to me. And like they were kind of throwing it in just to throw it in. The Nami flashback with Arlong, I thought it was a different approach to it, because in the anime, Arlong is the one that kind of takes Nami and offers the deal to Nami, and in the live action, it's the opposite, where Nami approaches Arlong and offers the deal to him. Now, granted, it kind of ended up the same way, you know. Well, actually, it completely ended up the same way. But I thought that was a little bit different, or it felt like Nami was trying to take control of a situation with Arlong instead of the other way around. So Nami's at the grave and she's digging for her berries. And then Nojiko comes in, and then that's when Nojiko finds out about everything that's happened. And I don't think I liked that. Because in the anime, Nojiko knew everything. And she was she was that blanket for Nami to go to. Nojiko was Nami's sister. And that out of everything that Nami was having trouble with Arlong and with stealing from people and getting... And that's something else they didn't show here is... They didn't show little scenes, which I understand they're cutting time, but they didn't show little scenes of Nami stealing treasure throughout her life and stealing from pirates and like getting her ass whooped all over the place by pirates because she keeps stealing from them. And Nojiko was the one that was there with her through all of it. And the one person that Nami had to go to. Now, maybe that says more that this Nami didn't... that live action Nami didn't have as much as anime Nami, because anime Nami had a sister, live action didn't, basically. But I wasn't a huge fan of that Nami did not have that blanket, just because going through all that is so, so rough. And I can't imagine going through that with at least one person that you can't go to and talk to. And even the fact that the tattoo that Nojiko had, that's part of the backstory. So like when Nami was young, Arlong forced her to get that tattoo on her arm and she hated it. And Nojiko knew she hated it. So Nojiko got a different tattoo as well in the same spot. So Nami didn't feel alone. And I loved that. I
don't remember that at all.
And I loved that in their backstory.
My brain, and so like Swiss cheese.
So like it was seeing Nojiko still with that tattoo, but not having the backstory and that connection as to why the tattoo was there was different. Emily Rudd with the scenes with the berries getting taken by Nezumi, and the scene at the end with her stabbing herself in the shoulder, completely well done. Emily Rudd absolutely murdered these scenes. I was talking about it earlier. Yeah. And her arm. I was talking about it earlier that there was a scene that had a very high bar to hit, and Emily Rudd hit that bar, you know. It was excellent. She did a great job. I think that the anime still hit me more with the scene, but I don't think it's because of anything Emily Rudd did. I think it's because of the extra time that the anime put into the buildup to it. Because, like we've already talked about, there were missing scenes with Bellemere to establish Bellemere more as a character. So it feels like a little bit more of a loss there as far as losing Bellemere goes. In the scene with Nezumi taking the money from Nami, not only does that still happen, Nojiko gets shot right there. So Bellemere is built better, you know, in my opinion, is built better in the anime. And then we get that death. And then Nojiko gets shot right there in front of her eyes by Nezumi. So Nami then runs to Arlong, like she kind of was doing here. And she confronts Arlong about it. And she's like, you can't do this. We had a deal. And Arlong puts his hand over Nami's mouth. And he's like, explain to me the deal. Explain to me where I'm wrong. Listen here. This is what's going to happen. Because she's got this massive hand over her mouth. She can't talk. All she's doing is crying. Arlong is completely asserting his dominance over Nami. Mm-hmm. And that scene was not here. That takes her to another low. And in the anime, the village people know about Nami's deal. Now, she doesn't know they know, but they do. And so whenever they hear that Arlong took that money, so Nami couldn't pay him and keep her end of the bargain, they don't get pissed that they don't have their freedom. They get pissed that Nami got fucked over. So they go to have her back. And she gets pissed over that. Well, not pissed, but she's scared over it because she knows that they can't stand up to these fishmen. And so now, not only did she lose Bellemere, Nojiko shot, she lost all of her money. Arlong completely made her feel like a little bitch. And now she's going to try and stop the villagers from marching to try and fight Arlong. And when she gets there to try and stop them, Genzo gives her the most emotional hug in all of One Piece. And he's like, you have been fighting for us for 12 years. We've got this. Let us have your back now. And all of this extra stuff that adds on to this moment, this final breaking point where all of these people that she's been trying to save are marching to fight these fishmen that she knows is not going to go well. And that's when this moment hits of Nami falling to her knees because everything around her is completely falling apart. So while I think Emily Rudd absolutely killed this scene, there were extra layers in the anime that made it feel like the anime hit it a little bit harder. Like, I don't think it was one layer in particular that completely took it. I think it was all of them put together that made it a little bit more emotional, I guess you would say. And like, I had a few tears building in my eyes watching Emily Rudd here. Like, in the anime, multiple tears flow. Like, I'm crying in the anime, basically. Like, I even kind of remember whenever we reviewed this scene in our watch through on the anime, and even reading through the scene of Nami breaking down, I remember I started getting tears just reading my words on paper over it. And like, I'm even starting to get a little emotional now about it, but it was just like, you know, just a few layers missing that I felt like weren't quite there. And again, I get it. It's time. And I was even talking with my buddy Alex about it at work. And he's like, yeah, they probably would have needed an extra 15, 20 minutes to build all of that. And let's face it. I mean, that's almost a whole nother episode. Like, that's half of another episode. And I don't know where you would have cut it from to add that. Like, it's just a thing that they had to cut to get all of this in 8 episodes, you know? And so they still did a really good job with what they had, but it just, comparing it to the anime, writing, or I guess the emotions behind it were not quite there, even though Emily Rudd was fucking fantastic. Amazing. I am really excited to see this next episode, and I am definitely going to watch it tonight when we're done recording. But the... I'm like shitting all over the end of the episode here, and I promise I'm not trying to. Because of the way they did the live action where the crew has already fought the Fishman Pirates, since we already have seen this matchup, we're going into it not knowing what's going to happen here. Is Luffy going to be able to take him? And I think that there's a I think it builds tension here. But at this point in the anime, Luffy hasn't even met Arlong. They have not interacted at all. Zoro has not interacted with the fishmen. Well, I guess Zoro has a little bit because he got captured earlier, but Sanji has not interacted with the fishmen. So when they are on this island, just hanging out, waiting for Nami, the tension is still there. It's still building. But instead of the tension of, I don't know where this fight is going to end up because of the fact that we know what the fishmen can do, they've already beat the crew once, the tension in the anime is more Luffy and Sanji and Zoro are a fucking cannon pointed at Arlong. Because all we've seen so far is Luffy beating everybody's ass. And while we've seen Arlong do some crazy shit, you're still looking at this waiting for Luffy to beat Arlong's ass because we haven't seen him do any different yet. And so this scene of Nami's breakdown and finally saying, Luffy, help me, and him putting that hat on her head, and he's like, of course I will. That's the fuse. That's the cannon that's ready to go off. And this, and so you're watching this scene as the four walk to Arlong Park. And you're just sitting there, instead of thinking, okay, so this is going to be another fight, and this is not going to be an easy fight because we've already seen them get beaten once. Instead, in the anime, you're like, Luffy is angry. This is going to be a pure fucking ass whooping. And so it's still a buildup. It's just a different kind of a buildup, just because of the fact, and one, we've already seen them interact, and one, we haven't. So you don't know any better than, like, you don't know that, okay, this could be a tough fight. You're sitting there waiting for, like I said, a plain beatdown where all of the fishmen are going to get their fucking asses whooped. And including Arlong, which, by the way, that's what happens in the anime. First fishman to go down is Arlong. but it was still a lot of tension there. Just a different kind of tension than I noticed because of the way they have done the story previously as far as the build up here. But I'm still excited to see the next week's episode for sure, and see where they end this and how it works out. Okay, anything else before we move on to extracurricular activities? I'm just going to start calling those from now on because I have no clue what else to fucking call those.
One.
Oh, actually, you know what? Let's just go through here. Quotes. Anyone have any other quotes that they wanted to share?
No? I don't think I think I shared all of those as I went through them.
Yeah, I shared all mine. I always share mine throughout the...
Yeah, and normally I do too, but I actually forgot to share both of mine. Amanda, did you have any?
No more. No. I forgot to write it down, but I just thought it was funny that Buggy called them... He called them shitty its last episode, and he said something else this time, and I forget what it is, but it's like shitbags or something. That's his token insult, shit something.
Yeah, okay. That sounds about like him. Shitbags and angry farts. one quote I did have was just one word, and it was something that Sanji called Zoro in like the first opening scene. He called Zoro Mosshead.
Oh, yeah.
And...
Moss head.
That's his go-to insult for Zoro in the anime. Zoro is Mosshead and Sanji is Curly Brows. But Zoro can't call Sanji Curly Brows because he doesn't have them in the live action. But yeah.
He just calls him cook and waiter and servant or whatever.
He calls him waiter instead. So I liked the toss in of Mosshead there. I thought that was really fun, and I was excited when I heard it. I was like, "Oh, he said it!" Go ahead.
I'm really sorry. I'm very curious, and I haven't listened. I've only listened to a couple episodes, just because I binge the series so quickly. And so, if you guys have answered this question, you can tell me to shut the fuck up, and that's totally fine. But I think this is mostly for Amanda and Whitney, who Zoro or Sanji.
Shut the fuck up. No, I'm just kidding.
Zoro.
Live action, I'll take Sanji.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. I like the kicking does it for me. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And the hands in the pockets and the, you know, that lovely clip that you put in the Thirst channel or the One Piece channel. I don't know. Now I forget what happened. There was a song. Oh, it was the Bruno Mars thing clip of Sanji kicking and that you posted.
Did I post it?
Whitney.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't think I posted anything.
I don't remember. It was a couple of weeks ago.
I don't know.
It was the Bruno Mars song, Talking to the Moon, and then it was Sanji kicking, and it was his ass.
Yes. Oh, and yeah, it said the moon. You were supposed to slide it up. It was just his butt cheeks. Oh, yeah.
So, yes, supporting evidence.
Kind of mood on it. Honestly.
As an ELA teacher, I do appreciate using supporting evidence, but Zoro is, I mean, Sanji is fine as hell, and maybe I would be on Team Sanji if I had seen Sanji first, but after I saw Zoro, like, he would just ruin all other men for me.
Absolutely.
He is fine as hell.
Yeah.
Damn.
So my other quote, no, you're good. No, you're absolutely fine. was in the scene with Nami digging up the berries and Nojiko coming up and like flipping the fuck out. And this wasn't anything necessarily that I was like, I wasn't mad at Nojiko. It was more this writing situation I have seen in so many like movies and TV shows and shit. And I cannot fucking stand it because Nami's trying to explain what's going on. And Nojiko keeps screaming at her and swinging that shovel all over the place. And Nami just said, she's like, you don't understand. And Nojiko responds with, then make me understand. And I got so fucking mad. I was like, if you want her to explain to you, then shut the fuck up. Like, anytime she tries to talk, you're screaming and yelling and flipping the fuck out. And again, it's not Nojiko in particular. It's more every time I see this in any show or movie, I get mad at that. Like, okay, if you want an explanation, you gotta stop talking, because every time they try to give you one, you're yelling. Like, pick a side. Either flip the fuck out and decide to not listen, or shut the hell up and listen. You know, it's up to you. I don't care which one you pick. Just pick a side. So anyway, that I wrote that down. And yeah, we'll just leave that there. Red pals.
All right. I picked another hottie, Mr. Chu. You can't see him very well.
Oh, no.
Look at those lips.
Oh, God.
They're just grotesque looking.
Mm-hmm. But they move so well. Like, the prosthetics.
They do.
I don't know.
They do.
They
do. They
did such a good
job.
There you go. You can see him now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got the Founding Fathers haircut.
That he does.
I like
that's
that.
Very, George very Washington. John Revere.
It's very pilgrimish.
John, is that his name? Paul Revere.
Paul Revere. John
Adams. That was a guy back then.
I'm sure it was. It's his brother.
Let's see.
I'm not really sure what I was supposed to have prepared.
Oh no. You're good.
But I did write some people down for
okay.
What I thought I was supposed to have.
Okay. Who'd you pick?
So is piece of shit one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
All right. So our piece of shit, in my opinion, was the guy with the purple and the yellow hair. And it was really funny that you mentioned him already.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
John Bon Jovi.
Yeah,
he is he is a piece of shit. He is the one who said all in at the beginning, and then he just kind of like pops up in random places mm-hmm. throughout the episode, because then he's also like partying at the bar, and then he's also like one of the people that Stoffish knows. Arlong. Arlong. Okay. I knew it started with an A.
Algonquin. I love that. I'm going to start calling him that from now on.
He was also one of the people that he dabs up before he does his like motivational speech about how like fish people are above people.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just pops up throughout the episode as just like, I'm a dick in all of these situations.
Yeah, wacky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, I'm just gonna follow people around. Look at my purple hair and my yellow hair.
Like they were separate.
Have you guys heard of this person? He's a chef. His name is Guy Fieri. I want to be the fish version of him.
If Guy was a fish.
You never know. I wonder if he was. No, he wouldn't have been modeled after Guy Fieri.
I mean, Guy Fieri won one of the first seasons of Food Network Star.
When was that?
Food Network Star started because I watched seasons like 4, 5, and 6, and that was back in like 2014.
Gotcha. So this character would have been designed in like 1999.
I mean, Guy Fieri was around. He was just not in like the Burbank Airport or
probably not
Pigeon Forge or wherever the hell else he has restaurants now.
Amanda, Whitney, any piece of shit nominations?
Rat face,
yeah, rat face.
Oh yeah,
I went with him as well. So,
oh, sounds fuck like me. Yeah, so...
He's talking to Zorro again.
I was gonna say, yeah, just tack Zorro onto the end of that sentence.
Yeah. okay.
Gladly.
So, MVP. So I'm gonna go ahead and present mine first because it's gonna be out there and probably breaks the rules of MVP slightly.
We change the rules every week.
You change the rules all the time, Derek.
I have said the exact same fucking thing ever since episode one.
Just say it so I can go to bed.
MVPs, my nomination is Emily Rudd. She fucking murdered this episode.
She's not even in this episode. I didn't see a single character whose name was Emily Rudd.
Exactly. That's why it kind of breaks a little bit, because it's not a character. It's the actress playing the character. She did fucking great. Her acting, her screaming, the pain in her eyes, all of it was on point.
I can scream too. Yeah. Zorro, would you like to find out?
But I understand if she doesn't get it, but I needed to throw her name out there because she definitely deserved it in this episode. She did great.
Go Luffy.
Okay.
Huh?
I had Nami or Bellamere.
I think I misunderstood the brief.
I don't understand it either. I just picked somebody.
We thought we understood, but Derek doesn't think so.
I thought it was supposed to be somebody that was like outside of the normal purview. Oh, that was the other one. That's the piece of shit.
Yeah. MVPs is like somebody who like was very vital to the story.
Like, yeah. So someone that you walked away from the episode like very impactful, like who in this episode left you thinking, hell yes, that their actions were great in this episode.
Yeah. Okay. Or, you know, so I didn't misunderstand. This is putting my whole chest behind it. The person that I would nominate for the MVPs would be the bartender who was hot and also instrumental in Kobe and Grab. Garp. Garp, he set the whole story trajectory in motion, because had Kobe not snitched, and then the bartender not snitched to Kobe, and Kobe also snitched to
Garp.
Group.
Group. Club. Club.
To Groupon.
And then, yeah, like we wouldn't even get a season or episode 8. Like we would just be like, what happens now? Garp would an be arc like,
Garp would be stuck.
I'm pretty sure that I'm getting confused between Hagrid's brother,
Grop.
Grop. Yeah, I keep wanting to call him Grop. And also, all of the words that start with G that are not Garp.
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 Galifianakis.
But yeah, he would be stuck and we wouldn't see him in the finale. I completely understood the brief, and now I think that I have presented the character that I will be thinking about for the next 5 minutes. And we'll never think about again.
You rest your case, Your Honor.
Yep. Sorry, that was my gavel.
So no, we all picked someone different.
Yep, we did. So it sounds like it's going to Emily Rudd then.
No. We all picked actual characters from the show.
This is a garbocracy.
So it sounds like we're going with Garp, even though no one actually picked him.
Oh, nobody did.
No.
You can put a poll up.
I Luffy threw me for a loop, because I feel like Luffy, just because he's the main character, I don't know that he can be the most impactful.
So that's the funny thing. Luffy has gotten it one time out of the 5 months that, you know, that we've been doing this show. He's gotten the MVP once. Okay. I don't even remember exactly what he did.
I don't either.
Probably punched Kobe in the face. I'd give it to him for that.
I think we gave it to him for the end of this arc. I think it was something he did in Arlong Park that we gave it to him for. I know.
I don't know.
Oh, you know, he really did. He really did kind of put a bow on the episode.
Well, because he wouldn't let it go the whole time. Like, he's like, we're going after her. She needs to tell me for herself that she doesn't want to be with them. And then he's helping her at the end.
And he's kind of like, yes, si se puede.
So something interesting that I think that, or something here that I think is interesting in this conversation is nobody has mentioned Nojiko. And I'm not saying it's that we
picked her
I'm not saying that we should, because I don't necessarily know what all she did in this episode to deserve it. But at this point in the live action or in the anime, Nojiko was the one that got the MVPs because of the way that she was there for Nami.
She also got shot though.
She got shot. She was there for Nami, and she was also helping Luffy and the crew understand what Nami has been going through in different ways. Like, she also, because Usopp got his ass whooped at the beginning of this arc too, and she bandaged Usopp up too. So, like, that right there tells you how much they took away from the character of Nojiko. If that makes sense. Like, don't get me wrong, I still liked her in this, but I fucking love anime Nojiko. She's the best.
But who gave her that shot? It was the bartender, who was hot and also impactful.
I'm good with the bartender. Let's go.
All right, bartender.
What was yours again?
I said Nami or Bellemere.
Okay. Bellemere was pretty good. That was a pretty good one too. But
I could go with Nami too.
She did save Nami and Nojiko's lives.
If we can't do Emily Rudd, I could definitely do Nami. Yeah,
I don't think that helped us.
Yeah, whatever. My answer every time. I just want it to end.
Nami it is.
Or the bartender. I'm good with the bartender. That drink sounds nice. I would like one.
I could go for a drink.
Before
we wrap up, there is one thing that we skipped, and that is another question sent in by our friend Big Schlong Silver. So
evolving.
Emmy, your face.
Is he single?
You should ask him. You let us know.
So just for all of our listeners, this was put together with AI by Silver Big Dick. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew that as we are listening here. Here is our question.
What's up, Going Merry? It's me, the future king of the pirates, Monkey D. Luffy. Your new friend, Dong Shlong McLong, sent me to personally ask your last question before their identity is revealed. What does Garp tell Zeff when he's asked how he takes his steak?
Medium rare. And then he says, a little more rare than medium.
Yeah, somebody said that earlier. Disgusting
human being.
Yep, someone did say that earlier, and that has to be the right answer. I would say it is. Amanda, do you agree? Because it sounds like Whitney, Emmy, and I all agree.
Sure.
Garp wants his steak more rare than medium.
So, yeah, so we got that right. All of us got it right.
I mean, I answered it, so.
Yeah,
I mean, that's fair. Emmy gets the credit.
Y'all just got behind me, so.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's all right. Thanks for all the questions, Dick Big.
I'm sorry.
No, you have nothing to apologize for. Anything else before we head out of here?
Oh, this is one of the only times that I've hit every single note that I have had on my paper.
Sweet, hell yes. And we didn't even rush you through it.
No.
Nobody bits your complaint or anything.
Sometimes with good reason. I write stupid shit down. Not today, but sometimes.
Not today.
You should have today. So next week, of course, is episode 8, our finale of the live action review. So we are super excited for it and super excited for our guests next week. Emmy, do you want to throw out your plugs for the Avengers?
Of course, we are available, I think, absolutely everywhere now. And I think that we all agreed to change YouTube as well. So we are at The Avengers Podcast. No, wait. Avengers Podcast everywhere.
No, the.
Yeah, so it's
just Avengers Podcast. Avengers. All one word, ladies and gentlemen. Avengers Podcast on Twitter. Not Twitter. What the hell ever it is now.
It's still Twitter to me, damn it.
Yeah, I still call it Twitter.
It's a fucking dumpster fire.
It really is.
Truly. Idiot. Like it has gotten bad. Instagram, we're on YouTube. We've started doing video podcasts. So like if you want to see our lovely faces, we have those available as well. We are working on some new merch. I don't know if we'll put that out there, but yeah,
I'm actually wearing my Avengers t-shirt right now.
Hell yeah. Thank you. We appreciate you supporting us. AvengersPodcast.com/merch. And you can also find all of our individual social medias there, and we've got snail mail and all that fun shit. So yeah, Avengers Podcast. If you are watching Loki, you should join us in deeply diving into theories that make a little bit of sense, but then the next week we're like, fuck, I was wrong on that.
Yeah, okay. I listened to the, because they're releasing on Fridays, I did not get a chance to listen to your episode 2 until today. And I really enjoyed it. I like listening.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate it. We do what we can. And yeah, we've had some changes in the last couple of months, but I think we've stuck the landing.
I believe you have as well.
As Endgame.
Yeah.
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 I think.
Well, everyone, make sure to check out the Avengers podcast. Make sure to give them follows and messages. And if you end up joining their Patreon and get into their Discord, Amanda Whitney and I will all be there as well. So,
yeah.
So instead of setting up Patreon for us, you can pay the Avengers.
Pay us to interact with them.
Sounds fair.
That sounds really.
It is just $1, and like once you get into our Discord, like we're not going to kick you out. So
for life.
Most of the time.
For life.
No, I'm just kidding.
Unless if you're a dick, then.
Oh yeah, don't be a dick. You don't belong there.
I was going to say, I'm surprised I haven't been kicked out. Then.
Here, get on that, Emmy.
All right. Goodbye, Derek. No, I'm just kidding. You just had me on your podcast. So
I was gonna say, like, I was gonna look for a notification right now. You've been booted from the Avengers.
No, I won't do that to you.
Yeah. Okay. And as far as our podcast, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Going Merry Pod. And you can also support the show by leaving a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. It goes a long way with getting the show out there, and it is very much appreciated. You know, shoot us some messages, you know, contact us on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. We would love to hear from you. We want to know your thoughts on the show. If you are interested in starting the anime, you know, we're only 92 episodes in right now, which it sounds like a lot. It's really not. You can... If you're actually trying, you can get done. You can get through it in a week. Easy. but yeah, we would love to hear from you. And again, thank you so much for all of the listens and everything like that. I mean, this short 5 months that we've had so far has been incredible. And, you know, I'm so glad that so many people are enjoying the podcast so far. So everyone, have a great week. See ya.
Bye.